This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Squarespace.com. At Squarespace.com, you can make a fantastic professional website, blog, portfolio, online store, and more. Get a free trial today, no credit card required, and if you decide to stay, use the code MORNING at checkout. That'll get you 25% off your account. That's Squarespace.com and the offer code MORNING. Hey, check it out. Nerdtacular.com is live. There are tickets available for the big event. It's happening in July, the weekend of the 4th. And you, dear listener, are encouraged to come. Who's going to be there? Well, I will, of course. Tom Merritt, Veronica Belmont, Brian Ibbett, Brian Dunaway, Randy Jordan, Justin Robert Young, Brian Brushwood. I'm running out of names. The Spags, Steven Schleicher, the Major Spoilers crew, some cartoonists and stuff, and a bunch of other people we haven't even announced yet. Oh, yeah, the guys that host The Instance with me. And you. That's who's coming to Nerdtacular. Sign up now at nerdtacular.com, and tickets are going fast. Well over half of them are gone. If you want in, you got to get in now. And come join us at beautiful, sunny Snowbird Resort right here in Salt Lake City, Utah, July 4th weekend in 2014 for Nerdtacular 2014. That's a lot of 2014s. Nerdtacular.com. Coming up on TMS, what role does Dick Van Dyke play in your family?
In India, two heads are weirder than one.
Florida man really likes Rambo.
Kiss and Def Leppard think it's time to rock and roll again.
American Horror Story wants to go to the carnival.
Fitness geek.
Jury duty. A thing about Courtney Love and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Creepy crawlers, creepy crawlers, creepy crawlers.
Creepy crawlers are so much fun. Playing gags on everyone. All you need to make a bug is a thing maker set and electric plug. Or plastic goop right in the mold. Then trade them, sell them, good as gold. You can tell they're Mattel. They're creepy crawlers, creepy crawlers, creepy crawlers.
Bye-bye.
This is The Morning Stream. Dave's not here, man.
Unmute my microphone would be a good idea. Hello, everybody. Hello, and welcome to The Morning Stream, the muted morning stream. The muted morning stream would be terrible. It'd be quiet bed music. And
right.
Punctuated by occasional sound effects.
An occasional song, right, mm-hmm. An occasional Charlie Sheen clip. And
that almost happened the other day. Did I tell you how that almost happened?
No. Is that what you recorded, like one side of things?
I almost screwed up, and I turned off the ability for my stuff to record us talking, but only briefly because I was trying to do it for another guest show thing I was on. I was trying to make it so I could record just me and not them. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of a pain, and I almost forgot to switch it back, and I almost just recorded the entirety of TMS without our voice track in it. So it would have been just us. Or you know what it may have been? It may have ended up being awesome. Just me and not you.
Right.
And that would have really sucked.
Oh, that would have been hilarious.
Oh, I'm so glad it didn't happen. It would have been really rough. And I just remembered last second, like, oh, I better re-enable that, and I fixed it. But I wouldn't have noticed. It would have been a thing I just, you know, absentmindedly just let stuff go, and I wouldn't have thought about it. But I'm thinking about it today because, damn it, we're here. It's the morning stream. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. It's March 18th, 2014. I'm Scott. That's Brian. Hello.
Yes, hello. I like that Creepy Crawlers ad, by the way, that you played.
Do you remember that thing? I do.
That was the Easy Bake Oven for boys because mm-hmm. It was like a little metal tray.
Yeah.
And you poured the goop in and you had different bottles of different colored goop. And they'd go in the little oven. The little metal tray would go in. And then when you pull it out, they'd all be hard, and you got to let them cool, obviously. Don't touch that metal thing because it is probably 300 degrees and probably scalded many a boy's hands.
Yeah.
And then they had little, like the little rubber doodads that came out of that thing.
All right.
had like slots and tabs on them. So like you fit them together to make little monster creations. Yeah. I totally remember that
thing. It was pretty cool. I was thinking about this yesterday. How many toys? We saw some Slinky commercial in some old movie, and I thought, how many toys when we were growing up were like where they would do versioning? Like you would have the Easy Bake Oven for girls,
right, and the equivalent.
Mm-hmm. You'd have Cabbage Patch dolls for girls, and you'd have the This is more overt, but the Trash Pail Kids or whatever they were called. What were they called? Garbage Pail Kids. Those were completely aimed at boys.
Well, yeah.
And the boys' stuff was always monsters, science fiction, or fart gags. And the girls were always dolls, ponies, and, you know, strawberry shortcake-like things.
Was there an equivalent of the Barbie head that you applied makeup to? Like, wasn't there a monster head that you...
Probably. That like you a big head, right?
On? Yes, it was like a big head. And you'd stick on, but not like, almost like a giant Mr. Potato Head, like a much larger human version of a Mr. Potato Head.
I kind of remember that. Yeah, and you had like slime putty things.
Yeah,
and
like lesions and boils.
What does this say about what we think about gender in our society? That we do this, that we say, oh yeah, the boys want gory shit and the girls are just going to dress up a pony. It's a funny split there, isn't it?
It is a funny split.
There's probably some study somewhere we could find. Hey, listeners out there, if you got a little inside track on some sweet study we could read,
and so do you have the audio track isolator, the music track backing track that you use for that Nerdtacular ad?
I do.
Candy?
Yeah, I do.
Can you play a little bit of it?
Yeah, let me pull it up. Hold on. here it is. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Wait, that's not it. Hold on, I can't find it. Oh, here we go. All right, here we go.
All right.
Classes are now forming for the Salt Lake City Beauty College. Sign up today. Become a beautician in 6 easy months.
But what if I don't have a high school diploma?
Yeah, that's
I'll cut your hair for $2.
$2?
Yeah, that's basic. You're right.
I love it. No, I mean, I love it. That is one of the greatest sound beds ever.
It's it's the Diner Dash theme to the old video game Diner Dash. I love that. It's fantastic.
It's funny because I did not recognize it as that, but it does make you want to serve hamburgers and
rapidly,
salads.
Quickly.
Yes,
because really you're the only person working there. Yeah,
that's right.
That's an odd.
I can open my own store.
It's an odd game. Remember when we were all into those though? There were like a billion clones on iOS, and every other week you and I were like, "Hey, Brian, have you played Zipper Zappy?" And you'd say, "Yeah, I have, and it's great. And here's another one." And I couldn't get enough of those time management games.
I know, and I remember when we had the plan to do a comic book version of that. I still have sketches.
I do too.
I still think it's a gold mine.
I think
it's
that's a gold mine, Jerry. I think that thing's going to make a comeback. Here's the thing: the App Store and development on phones in general is a much more mature place than when we were first talking about that.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like we're more likely to run into a fan who will make it happen quicker than we could on our own. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like now might be more ripe than ever. So we should talk about that more. And that whole genre has kind of gone to the stinker. I don't know why. I think a good version of that could be made. So why not? And we won't. And no free to play. That's for the birds.
We want to
do a straight up dollar game. You guys pay for it and walk away. All right.
And not have to keep paying. Like, oh, if you want more coins, coins will cost you dollars.
We asked for more coins and they wouldn't give us any more coins. So it's time for us to play a little game we like to call
Robot Arms.
Nope. It's called Let's See What's Going On This Morning. All right. So check it out. Netflix is a treasure trove of content. You can find all sorts of weird things and some stuff will just surprise you why your kids are into it. And for us in the house, it is the Dick Van Dyke Show. You know the one.
Yes.
Tripping over the ottoman. And for a couple seasons, he tripped on the ottoman. And then for a couple seasons, he scooched past it. Do you remember that in the intro?
Like avoided it. Like, it was like an alternate version of the intro.
Yeah, last second, he just kind of scooched out of the way. And
it's
when
the couch gang. It was the original Simpsons couch gang.
When I was a kid, these would be on like weird repeats Saturdays, you know. But on the three channels you and I grew up with, it would just show up. And I remember just loving it. Mm-hmm. I loved the Dick Van Dyke Show. I thought it was funny, quaint, from an era I didn't understand. It was black and white. Dick Van Dyke looked like he was made out of rubber. Like he was the the Jim Carrey of their day. He wasn't the John. I wasn't the John Carrey of their day. and he just had such a great physical thing, you know. He's great. But nothing wrong with Dick Van Dyke. Still living, still with us, still kicking.
Still diagnosing murder.
Is he still? I don't think he's done much lately. I think he's kind of out of it now.
Yeah,
he's in his late 80s. But he's in this thing, he's in his spry 30s. And he's looking great. Anyway, kids discovered it. That is to say, my 16-year-old and my 13-year-old. And they can't stop watching it. And they're that's mad at each other if one of them starts one and they're not in the room with
them. Oh, really? Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. And it's kind of it's kind of insane to sit and watch like
waving your hands.
It was my wiener. All right, come on. But a 13-year-old boy guffawing, like belly laughing at a show that came out in the early 60s is kind of something to watch. Like,
I love that Maury Amsterdam.
Right. And it's funny how many of those people are still alive. Like, who was the other woman?
Mary Tyler Moore?
No, the other. Or Sally.
Rosemary.
Rosemary.
Just Rosemary.
I thought it was last name something else. No?
No, you don't say Clooney. It's just Rosemary.
Rosemary Clooney. Got it.
No, like two.
But she died just not long ago. No, oh, okay. she did, but she was like 90-something, and I'm guessing, you know, Dick Van Dyke's on his way to 90-something, and Mary Tyler Moore's still rocking it at 80-something.
Wow.
Like, they're all just got some weird long life juice going on with them. Maury Amsterdam, I want to say, died years and years and years ago.
Little silvers.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit. Anyway, it's just so, it's intense how much they're into it, and
Rosemary is still alive.
What? Shut up.
She was born 1923.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding. According to Wikipedia.
Okay, I'm looking it up.
She's still alive.
Yeah, you're right.
She's 90.
Oh, gosh. She is still alive.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Good for her.
Why did I think she was dead? I thought she died. Maybe it was Maury Amsterdam that died recently. Okay, we're going to find out.
That's one of the best names, by the way, in
Maury Amsterdam. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he died in 1996.
At 87 years old. He was the older dude.
Yeah.
So he'd be in his hundreds now.
Right. And you know, you look at this guy and you know that he started out in vaudeville, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you look at him, he's like, "All right, well, here's, you know."
He came up through the system at a time where there was a possibility that a giant cane would come out from the side of the stage and pull you out. Because you went too long or something.
The Google auto, or not autocomplete, but recommended searches. Mm. So you do a search for Maury Amsterdam.
Yeah.
What would you guess would be the first word?
Let me think. That,
so you do a search for Maury Amsterdam. Oh, Maury Amsterdam, blank.
I'm going to say, this is a wild guess, just putting it out there, sandwich.
That's exactly right.
I did it, so I knew.
I kind of figured, yeah.
Sandwich, jokes, grave. Is there something with his grave? Hold on, let's find out.
I want to find out what the Maury Amsterdam sandwich is.
Find a grave memorial. Oh, wow. He's got a hell of a... Oh,
This is the great rabbit hole, right?
Isn't it?
I know. Yes. So the Maury Amsterdam sandwich is, let's see, corned beef, Swiss cheese, and bologna.
Huh. That sounds good.
Sometimes with Russian dressing.
Oh, when? Only when you're telling a bad joke or okay, great. When you're wearing a suit, when your suit pants are too high, is that when?
I want to taste test one of these on the show.
Let's do you can autocomplete my name. It goes Scott Johnson, and then not autocomplete, but it tries to suggest searches, and they are Scott Johnson a task. I don't know what that means. Scott Johnson Tosh, and Scott Johnson Utah. Okay, I get the last one. If I do you.
That's great.
Brian Ibbett, Twitter, Brian Ibbett Coverville, and Brian Ibbetson.
Ibbetson, thanks a lot. We have to thank you and Leo Laporte for that one.
That's hilarious.
Oh, no, look at that. There's a picture of a guy named Brian Ibbetson.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, select Brian Ibbetson.
Okay, and hold on. Oh, yeah, hold on. Oh, look at that guy. He's like a flute player guy.
So that's a...
Are you sure that's not
tenor sax?
You're sure that's not that lady who played who was on SNL during the John Lovitz years? What's her name? Can't think of her name.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. She did Martha Stewart.
Yes, that looks a lot like her. Anyway,
I'm pretty sure
Brian Ibbetson.
Brian Ibbetson.
Sweet gray hair. Maybe you know what? Maybe Leo Laporte was talking about this guy. Maybe he wasn't talking about me. Maybe he was talking about this sweet sax player.
I got a sound from the sax player here. That's what he sounds like.
Oh, God. This is the greatest album cover ever, by
it
the
really
way.
It really is. Look at that.
Understanding You by Brian Ibbetson. I'm buying a copy of this album.
Good Lord. All right. Well, we've gone. There's a rabbit hole. If you guys wanted to have a tour, that's what it's like to go down one
rabbit hole.
Anyway, I just think it's cool that the kids are into it, and it's odd. And now I'm all fired up to say, ooh, really? Well, if you like this, you'll probably like Newhart. And if you like this, you'd probably like to continue the Mary Tyler Moore thing right into the Mary Tyler Moore show.
That's right.
And then I can, then we can get all kinds of cross streams. Like that guy did the Meanwhile at the Hall of Justice for a couple of seasons. And I can get into all these like crossover actors and hey, there's Mr. Grant, that actor, Ed Asner played the old man in Up and they won't believe it. Like it's like I'm doing magic tricks for the kids with TV. They think it's great. All these connections and stuff. They love it.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be fun.
Anyway, we're going to watch more of that kind of stuff. This just
and,
in.
And, you oh, know yeah, what? And I don't know how I missed Ironic Names comment about a Maury Amsterdam sandwich involves Mary Tyler Moore and Rosemary.
Nice.
Okay. Very good.
Ten points. I gotta give you a little, breaking news. Breaking news, everybody.
Yes.
Breaking news. Hold on.
What?
All right. Breaking news. Courtney Love. Courtney Hull, I used to call her.
Yes.
But that was her band name, and I get him confused.
Courtney Hull. She was not a member of the band Love.
No.
The great band Love.
No. Married to the Kurt Cobain.
Yeah. And she even goes, sometimes she goes by Courtney Love Cobain, sometimes not.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes she just, Hull. You just call her Hull.
Mrs. Hull.
She's really good in Man in the Moon deal with the Jim Carrey over there. That's
and,
pretty good stuff.
The People versus Larry Flint, she's really good in.
She had a moment there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened. She had it going on and then kind of pooped it all away. But anyway, Courtney Love joins the search for the missing Malaysia Airlines plane and posts her findings on Facebook. Finally, somebody of her stature stepping forward and doing the business here.
That's right. She's the new Sean Penn.
Yeah.
Helping with the current disaster.
Yeah. Courtney Love has joined millions of other people in the effort to search for the missing Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 in the wake of the plane's shocking disappearance on March 8th by logging into crowdsourcing locator website TomNod. We get that on Wednesdays. The Hull singer. Oh, they mean Hull singer, not the entire singer.
The Hull singer
scoured satellite images. I think scored is funnier. Scored satellite images. Over the areas of law enforcement, local officials have been circling around in hopes of finding evidence of the plane or any wreckage, and she thinks she's found something. Brian, have you seen this sweet diagram that she created?
I have, yes.
This is pretty tight. MS Paint still representing.
Get that woman a Wacom tablet, would you?
She says, I'm no expert in her post on Facebook, but up close, does this look like a plane and an oil slick?
How close do you have to get to it? Because I'm practically putting my nose to the screen.
I don't see anything of the sort.
It's like one of those 3D magic eye.
Well, what I think
if you stare at it long enough, do you start seeing oil and planes and a cube?
Yeah, and a career.
Bust of Shakespeare.
An old career used to have.
Aww.
So I'm looking at this, and I kind of see what she means about. So what she's doing is she's seeing that water all shiny, and she thinks that shiny portion might be oil.
Because oil
is shiny.
This is true.
And then down here where she sees the plane, that's probably just some surf. But she thinks that's
but
the
it is like a little
plane.
White, right.
Yeah. So it's not so much that she would be wrong or right.
No,
or
it's just
whatever.
The fact that she's involved is the great thing.
It's like a machine that you enter two random bits and out poops out a combination. You know? Like
right, let's spin the wheel.
Like put in the word chicken and Dick Van Dyke. And what are you going to get? Dick Van Dyke discovers the source of salmonella in all chicken. Like it doesn't make any sense that these two things are working together, but there it is. Prayers go out to the families. Ooh, wouldn't you like a Courtney Love prayer? Wonder what that's like. It's got to be all drug induced and stuff, right? Don't you think?
I think so. It's all It's a big sloppy prayer.
I got more breaking news. Amazon says your package with Then There Were None has been shipped. All right.
Oh, great. What's Then There Were None?
I have no idea. Something my wife got. Probably a book or one of the kids or something. Who knows? All right. Well, there you have it. That's
thank you, Courtney Love. You know what? Power to you for getting involved with this and come back. Come back to movies.
Come
back and be good.
We're not so much worried about our music, right? Like we're good. We don't need more Hull.
Yeah, we're okay. We've got enough Hull.
Okay. We have enough Hull to last us a lifetime of Hulls.
That's right.
All right. Let's add Darryl
to the
call.
Every time you listen to that album, it's like a brand new album. This world, hey, all right. Great.
What was that big song she did? I'm always happy. Nope, that's garbage.
No, that's garbage. Ice Worm just freaked out. He just rolled you off.
He just rolled in the grave.
I miss world. Na 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 na.
Wait, is that the one?
Well, that was one of them.
I'm thinking of the one where she looked really super hot in it and danced around a lot, and it was kind of way poppy.
Really? And it was a garbage. Or, I mean, it was a hole.
It was a whole song. It was just at the high point of all that, and it was as good as it ever got. And I can't remember the song. Now it's going to bug me. And I don't have a single whole song right in my library. So
I'm looking in mine. I've got Celebrity Skin.
That's it.
All right.
That's the song. That's right.
Let me just get a little bit of it here, and I can relay it to you because you can't hear my iTunes. Thank you, Skype.
Yeah, that's right. Celebrity Skin.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the one. Oh, look me over.
That's the one.
Da-na-da-na. Yeah.
It was kind of cool. It was catchy.
Yeah, that is a good album.
It was all right. If there's a pig anus, he'll lick it. All right, moving on. time for this. It's Stuff a Track Nerd, brought to you by...
Get your subscription to Retro Gaming Magazine now at tiny.cc/retrosub, featuring comics from Scott Johnson.
Hey, you like that, listener, who thinks Brian's doing his best Scott Fletcher? You like that?
Well, I was trying to do this. See, the echo came in too late. I was going to try and use the echo for the ad.
Oh, it is too late because now you're not even doing the ad. Now it's just you talking. What the hell, man?
That check, check. See, that's great. Where am I?
Oh, where, I Jill, no, do a Jill. Do a Jill.
Walk over this way.
Oh, yeah. Do it. Jill. Do it with the echo. Do it one more time.
Jill.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
That's awesome.
Here, listen.
Barry.
Wait, no.
Jill.
No, that's. I have echo ones of Bill, Jill and Barry, but you sound like the echo
one. I hope this isn't Mike's blood.
Chris is Chris. Chris's blood. All right. Well, welcome us, everybody. Hi, Birdum.
Hi, Birdum.
Oh, Daryl, I mean. Hi, Daryl. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Oh, good. That's fantastic. You're there at work. You're in your cubicle. You've got people around you, important things going on all around you, and you're going to take time out to do something extremely trivial and stupid, and that is to hang out with us and do Stump a Trek Nerd. Are you ready?
Yes, it's the best time of the day.
It is, kind of. Yeah. We have food to test 2 out of 3. We're going to wait until mine gets here, but apparently there's Alaska food on its way to me, and you guys got some. Oh, you know what? Did it include some, like, beef sticks and things?
I think so.
Hold on. Kim's waving me down. Don't go anywhere.
It's a caribou stick.
Yes, there is a beef
don't
stick.
Don't go anywhere.
Teriyaki caribou stick.
Not beef, though. No. Caribou.
You
to eat a moose.
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull some teriyaki out of this little bag.
That trick never works. This was my cousin
Larry.
We did get it.
Very good.
Hey, that was a pretty good, what do you call it?
Bullwinkle.
Nope, the sleeve. Presto.
Presto.
The no moon drink.
That never works.
Have you ever heard, I got to play you a clip. Sorry. Hold on. This is pretty good. Rocky and Bullwinkle. Yeah, this one.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
I think I shall now be sick.
That's pretty good. Daryl, let's get to it. So we'll try this in a second, and we'll determine what we're going to do. But let's do a trivia question about Star Trek. It's what we do here, and I got one for you from The Next Generation. In The Next Generation episode, The Mind's Eye, Geordi is going to a seminar on Ryza. That's the pleasure planet. Remember that place? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Adult diaper planet is what I refer
That's right.
to it as.
Pokaland.
What subject does Geordi say the seminar is on the planet Ryza? Is it A, warp field dynamics, B, artificial intelligence, C, bioengineering, or D, antimatter physics? Mm. Warp Field Dynamics is my... I can't think of a good cover band. It sounds like it should be one, doesn't it?
My Insane Clown Posse.
There you go. Sure. That one works. You know those guys...
Warp Field Dynamics. How do they work?
You know they got sued or something for hooliganism or they're classified as a gang, you know? Like the same classification you'd give the Crips or the Bloods or whatever.
Really?
So those guys were in court defending... The Insane Clown Posse Juggalo deal.
Yeah.
Can they go anywhere just without the makeup on? Or they have to? Is there a law that says they have to wear it? Because they got suits and they're smart looking. They got the tie. They look like the best dressed lawyers you've ever seen, except they're wearing the clown posse face.
Oh, Shaggy Too Dope.
What are you doing? Oh. You know Daryl. Yeah, you know that guy. So what are we doing? Oh, yeah. So there's your question. You're going to mill it around. You're going to swish that around in your mouth, and you're going to spit it out on the other side. But before you do, I'm delaying here because I got to pull this up. It's been so long.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
We're going to test one of these things, and I can taste test the beef part of the beef stuff. I just can't eat it all.
Well, the teriyaki stick isn't beef. It's caribou meat.
Oh, well, if I had to guess...
It tastes just like elk.
If I had to guess, that's not going to be good for me either, but I'm only going to eat a taste of it. But that's fine. That's okay. the point of this.
That's the one we're testing?
Let's do that one. Yeah, the two Slim Jim looking things. Okay. Snap into a caribou stick.
Hold on. It's actually, it looks like the main ingredient is pork.
Oh, even worse.
Hmm. Well, I'm in the same boat. I'm just going to gnaw on it a little.
Yeah, Daryl and I are both.
I'm going to consume the entire... package.
Daryl and I are no longer, we can't eat the fibrous meats. Well, Daryl's been doing that for a long time, but I can't do it now. All right, hold on. I got to use a screwdriver of all things to open this.
Ooh. Really? The little jaggy bit, the little Bart Simpson hair top isn't tearing for you?
Whoa. Who opened a can of Alpo? Woo!
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Oh.
It does have a pretty
good Lord.
Pungent.
And it's oily on that end. Look at that.
Yeah.
This is great if you're... You know what? I just watched the movie... I watched the movie The Gray last night because I couldn't sleep with your Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson.
A lot of people don't like that movie.
I don't have a particular set of skills in this movie.
Actually, kind of did, but...
Yeah.
I really liked that movie. I thought I was going to hate it because everyone told me to hate it. I really liked it. And I didn't... And everyone says, oh, yeah, but that ending's the worst. No, it wasn't. It was fine. It was fine. I feel like I'm in complete opposition with the internet on this movie. It was really fun.
I've never seen it.
It's intense.
I know the basic premise.
Yeah, they crash in a plane, kind of a Live style. He's on a crew of offshore oil drillers. Only seven of them survive. And then they're up against a pack of wolves as they try to get out of there and survive. And it's basically Alien if Alien was set on a snow planet full of wolves. I mean, that's basically the plot. I really had fun with it. I don't know what everyone's problem is. I thought it was really good. Like genuinely good. Like, Liam Neeson is a damn fine actor when he wants to be. And he actually kind of nailed it. And everybody else in it's just fine. It was great. So I don't know. Everyone's smoking crack. That movie's fine. All right. And 78% of critics agreed with me, by the way. Rotten Tomatoes did just fine with that movie. All right. Here we go. It tastes a little like Alpo. Not that I've eaten dog food. I'm just saying.
Good fibrous meat.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know either.
You know what? I could eat it I could eat it on a camp or if I was stranded in the woods. No problem.
Mm-hmm. Or if I was a dog.
Yeah. Well, you would be if you were a dog because that really does taste like dog food. Look, I'll admit it. I've eaten a kibble. I ate a kibble when I was younger. I ate a kibble. Single kibble. Remember Kibbles and Bits?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't have a bit. I had a kibble. And my friend dared me to do it, and he paid me $3. And I did it, and I got $3 for eating a kibble.
Wow.
I should have included the bit, because I think the bit had more flavor. So I ate a kibble.
I can't remember a time when I've ever been paid to eat anything.
Let me think here. Is that the only time that ever happened to me? You've never been, no one's ever dared you and said, I'll give you $10 if you eat that snake or whatever?
No, you'll other get than paid the thickened liquid. I mean, I guess you could get the thickened liquid, but.
Yeah, but you didn't have to, nobody bet you and gave you cash.
No, this is true.
I mean, there was that one kid, I've told it on the show before, that kid that we talked into drinking from the dog's pregnant teat.
Yes.
For money. He did it for $1, dude. How cheap is that kid? $1, and there were 10 of us who 10 or something of us that dared him to do it. So together, the best we could muster was, we'll give you the equivalent of $1 to drink the milk from that dog.
That would not be enough.
I still can't believe he did it. To this
day, would not be enough.
To this day, I want to run into him at a Costco and just go, dude, how you doing? and have him
any weirdness?
Yeah, anything going on with you? You okay? Everything fine? And he'll say, I don't know. And I'll say, all right, well, have fun. Why don't you go over there and ask the hot dog lady to put that hot dog in a horse's butt before you eat it, because you're weird and you'll eat weird things, and I'll give you a dollar. Anyway.
The way, big thanks to A. McDermott, or as Nicole would call him, A. McDermick,
okay,
for sending us the Alaskan food.
Oh, great. Yes, thank you.
We'll be enjoying that for days to come.
Oh, and Dermot McRolney is in that movie. Is in the gray. Yeah, and he's really good in it. Like, really genuinely. You'll never think of him the same again. He's nothing like his usual roles. He's fantastic in it. That is a fun movie. Look. I'm going to make the recommendation now, and if I go to hell for this, fine. The Gray is one of my favorite movies that I didn't see in 2011 that I saw now. There.
Wow. Okay.
I really liked it. So take that, you bunch of naysayers. Daryl, yeah. Daryl, let's do a birthday. Who's celebrating?
That would be Jack B. Sowards. He was, he's dead. As of 2007, he was 78. He wrote The Wrath of Khan.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
And a TNG episode, Where Silence Has Lease.
Is that a good one? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it's a good first or second season one.
Oh, good. Because there are a few of those. There are a handful of those good episodes from one and two. Well, that's fantastic. Awesome. Great. It wasn't the one with no Tasha Yar guy, right? Yelling guy?
No, it wasn't.
No treaty? Not that guy? Okay.
No.
You'll have no treaty, no vaccine. Do I still have that? I should have that.
You should have
there
that.
There you go.
You shall have no treaty, no vaccine,
no sloppy hose.
I'm no Lieutenant Yar.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we had a mashup of that. All right. Well, that's good.
He also wrote a bunch of episodes of Bonanza, The Streets of San Francisco, and Barnaby Jones.
That's Hawaii 5-0. What was Streets of San Francisco? What was the theme?
Ooh, I can't think of that one.
Nope, that's Bonanza.
No, that's Bonanza.
I can't think of it. I don't know why Bonanza came to mind. What was the guy's name again, Daryl, the birthday man?
Jack B. Sowards.
Jack B. Quick?
Swords. Sowards.
Jack, jump over the con stick. good deal. Well, let's get back to your question then. It's the question of what Jordy was going to a seminar on Ryza. And your four options were warp field dynamics, artificial intelligence, bioengineering, or antimatter physics.
Well, I had a guess. And I might still stick with it.
Okay.
Let's see. It would just be him. Well, he would do a warp. Well, it would seem too obvious for him to do warp field, whatever it was.
Warp field dynamics. Or,
yeah, or antimatter. But why would he do bio? That's like for a doctor.
Hmm. These all sound like fake X-Men studies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like something X-Men teachers would teach at the school. I've been rereading Astonishing. Man, that was such a good series. Well, it still is, but
it was really good. Yeah,
those Whedon days are insane. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh!
And you can get that as a good trade paperback collection.
Yeah,
people, if that's what you want.
If you have Marvel Unlimited, you can read the whole thing right now.
Well, you can read them right, exactly.
Which is what I've been doing. It's real, real good. That Marvel Unlimited app got a huge update. Is that Daryl coughing?
No.
Oh, I thought you were losing it on the freaking caribou stick. Sheesh, that was bad. Is he okay over there? You have to go give him the Heimlich?
The Hamlish maneuver?
The Harry Hamlish maneuver? Ooh, the Harry Hamlish maneuver.
That's the Harry Hamlish.
Who am I thinking? Oh, Hamlin.
Marvin Hamlin. Yeah, you're
Marvin Hamlish, Harry Hamlin.
The pianist.
Got it.
Yeah.
Not the dude from the first Titan movie. Okay, got it. Good. All right, Daryl. Sorry, you were thinking. You were thinking real hard. You get the menstrual cramps real hard.
I think I've ruled out all that I was going to rule out.
All right.
Which leaves me with my original guess of artificial intelligence.
AI, you say? Well, let's find out. Let's ask the judges. Guest, our celebrity judge today, Haley Joel Osment. What an appropriate question for AI. All right, here you go. What's the answer?
Congratulations!
Nicely done.
You're a winner.
He says the seminar is on AI. By this way, or on his way to Ryza, he's captured by Romulans and brainwashed into assassinating a Klingon governor in order to start a war between the Federation and the Klingon Empire.
I'm sorry. Read what he does to the Klingon governor again, please.
He says to the seminar is on artificial intelligence. On his way to Ryza, he is captured by Romulans and brainwashed into assassinating a Klingon governor.
Not assassinating. All right, fascinating.
What'd I say?
He's assassinating.
Oh, it says assassinating in here. He's brainwashed into assassinating a Klingon. I just skipped right over that. I fixed it in my brain. Great. Here's a clip of Data explaining this, so you can hear him do it himself. Here we go, Data.
I've been able to determine that Commander LaForge was abducted by Romulans en route to Ryza. It is likely that he was somehow forced to take part in the plot to assassinate Governor Vok.
I saw no evidence of Romulans. We just witnessed him acting very much alone.
No, sir. You did not. I do not believe the commander is acting of his own accord. He has been receiving E-band signals through his visor, signals which are carrying direct commands to his brain. I have surmised that Commander LaForge was conditioned by Romulans, a process referred to historically and somewhat inaccurately as brainwashing.
Oh, geez. Hoity-toity, just say he's brainwashed.
Because there's no washing of the brain involved.
Cleansing of the brain doesn't come into it. I am Data.
By the way, Iceworm says, you did not see the gray in 2011 because it didn't come out until 2012.
No, that's because he didn't listen to me. I said one of my favorite movies from 2011 that I didn't see until now. That's my precise words.
But he's saying it didn't come out in 2011. Is it one of your favorite movies from 2012 that you didn't see until now?
He's full of crap. Let's just look that up.
All right.
Hold on.
Get back to assassinating Iceworm.
Because I looked this up. Oh, looky right there. The Gray, 2011. Released January. Oh, it says January 2012. What? Well, IMDb could fix this because it says The Gray, 2011 in the IMDb listing. And then right below it in tiny letters, January 27th.
Did a 3-theater premiere in 2011 or something.
Yeah, that's really weird. Okay, well, I was a month off, and it's not my fault. So,
right,
F off. All right. Not really, Iceborne. We like you. I would never tell
you. They made the movie, and then they decided, we're going to trick Scott and put it out 15 days later.
That's right.
I got to quit eating this venison stick, man. It's good.
Oh, yes, you should do that. Don't do that. Daryl, good job, and way to go. And tomorrow we'll do it again, where hopefully we can say good job and way to go. Daryl's the Trek nerd on Twitter. He's also This Week in Trek's own Daryl, which you can find pretty much weekly over there at thisweekintrek.com. Him and Michael Gaines doing the old podcast treatment of Star Trek, and it's real good. All right, Daryl.
We'll do it today, too.
Oh, good. Today's the day. What's your topic? Mm-hmm. What are you doing? What are you covering?
Oh, gosh. Why do I ever bring this up? I never remember.
We're going to be talking about John B. Sowards.
Is it a TNG one?
Jack B. Sowards.
I think it is.
I don't know. Yeah.
Human flesh against human flesh.
That's the topic. Human flesh.
That's it.
Show me your unit. All right, Daryl, let's play a little game called, I don't know, what is it? What do you got?
This is from Ken P. Now I remember who sent these. All right. Is this a Klingon name or Thai food?
Okay.
Klingon, jeez, sound like a horn. Get out of my way. All right, Klingon name or Thai food, go.
Ketemok.
Klingon.
Ketemok. I say Klingon as well.
That ok at the end was always a common thing. That's what my heart tells me. It's my gut tells me. What do you say, Daryl?
Maybe I should just throw all these away and start over. Yes, it's a Klingon. Klingon food.
You had us with ok or whatever. Nicely done. Well played. It's time for the news.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
Brought to you by the Daily Tech News Show, starring Tom Merritt at DailyTechNewsShow.com. Hop on over there today and see how tech coverage should be.
Nicely said. Wow.
I'm going to have fun with that button.
Great. It will never tire. It will never get old.
Yeah, I think it will. By the end of this episode, I think.
Female baby having two heads born in India. It's a strange headline.
Golly, it's like it was written by Harvey Keitel in Pulp Fiction.
Exactly. Baby having two heads.
You got a body in the garage without a head in the car?
conjoined twins were born at a hospital in northern India on Wednesday morning. Yes, this report is perfectly true, says Dr. Ashish Sehgal, CEO of Singus J.K. Hindu Hospital. They tell this to ABC News. We've delivered a female baby having two heads. She is presently alive and healthy. Well, that seems ominous, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Presently, she's alive.
Presently alive.
Yeah. Later, not so much. The New York Daily News reports the baby's mom, Yarmila Sharma, couldn't afford an ultrasound, didn't know she was delivering conjoined twins. We only came to know she was carrying conjoined after the ultrasound 2 weeks ago. It was too late to do anything about it, says Dr. Shrinkra Malek, who delivered the baby. According to the Daily Mail, the twins have two heads, two necks, two spines, but only one body, and their chance of survival are slim. Oh, you didn't have to tell us that.
No.
Maybe it could be like that girl on the Learning Channel, the girls, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's...
she did all right.
Or she did fine.
They did all right.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do... What do we refer to?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
That's a what is the thing.
What is the singular or plural based on? Is it the number of heads, the number of
And you know they both want to
hearts?
They both want to get married, you know. And how do you do that? Like
to two different guys?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that would be the logical thing.
Well, yeah, because they're two individuals. But then right. Again, I've heard them finishing each other's sentences. Like
not even finishing, but like saying the same sentence simultaneously is bizarre.
It's funny. When I was like a 10-year-old kid, I might see this and just think it was, you know, some sort of circus sideshow thing. Because when you're a kid, you don't know, you know, you've never seen anything like this. But today, I am fascinated by just the sheer number of cultural flip them on their ear kind of changes it makes to have two perfectly working minds in one body. And now what does that mean for everyday life? Like
mm-hmm.
two people with two different ideas about everything you do. They don't think the same. They don't have the same taste in everything. Yet they're sharing right. the same stomachs. They got to eat the same food. One mm-hmm. of them eats one time. Another one eats another time. It's fascinating to me. The whole thing is just, I find that, I don't find it like a freak show kind of curiosity anymore. I find it just really interesting. Like, man, does that sure throw a wrench into a lot of predisposed notions about what individual life means and, you know,
oh, yeah.
solitary stuff.
And how difficult a marriage can be.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in that situation, the guys are basically committing to a life with each other, like a life, you know.
With two people.
Right. Well, with three.
Well,
you know,
three, well three of you total, yeah. And what if you have, okay, let's just assume kids are on the table. You have, let's say the one guy has a baby with the lady body. And then what, you wait and then do it again with the other dude because he wants kids too? Like,
I see. Yeah,
it's
I don't
fascinating
know.
To me. The whole thing is mm-hmm. fascinating. I think the way you solve it is you pick one good guy
mm-hmm.
and you just call it good. You need to find one you both agree on. You won't get jealous of each other. But then would you, though? Because you're the... I mean, I'm not trying to get graphic here, but let's say...
No, I know.
You know what I mean? Like, the whole shebang is just an odd thing. You want to see the movie, she doesn't? Like, I don't know. I find that so interesting. I just...
It is. It's... Yeah, I mean, there's such a completely different method of everything. Every mundane part of your life becomes a much bigger... decision and
I don't know. One of you has to pee. Who really has to pee?
Well, I mean, that's an easier one.
But does the right one have to pee, or does the left one have to pee, or do they both?
Well, they just have to pee. I mean, that's that one becomes easy.
Does it though? Because one of them's like, I want to keep working on this. No, we need to pee. No, I want to stay here and finish this. I can hold it.
Don't they have one?
One bladder.
Like one bladder, one reproductive system, all that. I mean, those decisions become easy because if you have to pee, you have to pee. I mean, you're not going to be like saying...
Yeah, but I might do this. You and I are doing a show, okay? Let's say 10 minutes from now, right. I have to pee real bad.
I imagine they both feel the need to pee.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
They both feel the... Yeah.
But one of them is a little more strong-willed and wants to stick it out.
How is that the thing that you go to?
I don't know. I don't know, because to me, the mundane is the interesting here, because... Because the little things would be so different than they are for everybody else. So,
right.
So if one of them is headstrong and wants to stay focused on the project at hand, and the other one's just, I want to pee, it's just an odd argument. Like, because they both have to pee, but one is more prone to holding it and the other one isn't. Peeing is just an example. It could be a million things. It could be, I'm tired. Well, I'm not.
Well, see, that would be the one that I think about. It's like, all right, you know, you're not going to have the same sleep schedule exactly. You mm-hmm. know, one of you is going to be sleeping and the other one's going to be waiting for the other person to wake up, right?
Right, right. And one of you is going to be breathing in the other one's face at 3 a.m. And you're like, oh, gosh, you're snoring again. Who are you hitting? Who are you nudging? it's those things that are the most fascinating. Just like, who's drinking the orange juice while the other one's hucking down the toast? Can you even do that? Right. Can you eat it at the same time?
I think they can, right? I think. Oh, that's a good question, right? I mean, do they need to? Does their digestion?
I don't know.
Do they need to alternate or something?
I don't know. It's fascinating. Plus they seem super on the ball. So I'm anxious to see where they end up.
I mean, I watched an episode where they were making a pizza at a pizza place, and they were working in sync.
Yeah.
To do everything is really, really cool.
Which is also really strange to hear them finish each other's words. Like, one will start saying a paragraph of sentence and will suddenly stop perfectly in tune with the other one to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff is crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to watch that show now. It's the only good thing on TLC, by the way.
It's the only learning you can do on TLC.
Yeah. They've somehow combined the two things where they're like, here's a thing that initially will freak people out and it's interesting. But everything else is just like, we have little people, or we're going to blow a house up, or whatever.
Right.
Channel sucks.
An ironic name points out, what if one of them eats Pop Rocks and the other one drinks a Coke?
Oh, good thing that's a myth.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why. That's what would happen.
Oh, Mikey.
Oh,
Mikey. Still alive.
Florida man. And just to finish on this other one, we hope that baby, actually, she lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because that sucks. And get him out of Florida, or get him out of India. I don't think that's the place you want to get. Well, I don't know. India's got some.
Yeah,
All right, right?
The Indian doctors in America are some of, regarded as some of the best. So
isn't that because they all leave and come here? Isn't that the deal?
I don't know. You know what? Having never been to India and never going to a hospital there and seeing the facilities, I can't really say. But
have you had 72-hour diarrhea? Well, then you've been to India. You basically get the idea.
We'll see after I finish this teriyaki stick later.
Yeah, good luck with that. Florida man dressed like Rambo, charged with attempted murder. A Central Florida man. Central Florida man. All right, you got to do a new one.
Oh, no. A Central Florida man?
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy, but only in the middle. Excelsior.
Nicely done. Simple, thanks. Yet effective.
Sure.
He dressed like Rambo and was arrested as he walked into a lounge with an assault rifle and two hunting knives and challenged customers. Oh, this kind of happened to me the other day. I got to tell you about this. We went to Carter's Film Festival thing over the weekend.
I can't wait to hear how this happened. This happened to you at Carter's Film Festival.
All right, it's not exactly the same, but we went to her.
Which part of the assault rifle and hunting knives looking like Rambo?
So her thing was downtown, and it was cool, and they had all these student films. It went really well, and she got up on stage, and she's such a goof. She's the only one who's relaxed enough to tell a joke on stage, and she thanks the Academy because she's a dork.
Aww,
but anyway,
that's so cool.
It was fine. I was proud of her. But it all went really well, and things were fine. But previous to all of this, we're in this big Salt Lake City Public Library, which is this gorgeous, renovated, awesome, huge building. It's really cool. And they have tons and tons and tons of books and floors and conference areas and this big amphitheater and all this neat stuff. And it's really a cool cultural thing in the city. And there's a coffee shop right there across from the entrance to the thing we had to go into, and we were waiting to go in. So I'm in there reading a comic book at one of the tables on my iPad. The kids are sitting with me, and Kim is up at the counter getting some of who knows what. And this homeless guy comes up to the door dressed like Rambo, kind of. Mm-hmm. Long black hair, bandana, lots of bags, and like Vietnam clothes kind of looking dude.
Right, right.
And goes, here's what he says. He goes,
I was in the line first.
And he's standing outside. Like, he's nowhere near the line. And right. People in the line look back, including Kim, going, what? What? And nobody's really saying anything. And he goes, effing something, effity, effing, C-sucking something thing. All the worst words you've ever heard. And we thought this guy was going to go off because he's in his mind, he was in line at this coffee place and was butted in front of. Like, mentally not there. There's something wrong, right?
Right, yeah.
So for just a minute there, though, everybody saw what I saw, which is him going for something in his bag.
Oh, God.
And we thought, oh, no, he's getting a gun or something.
And if you would have read this article the day before this happened,
I would
have been a lot more freaked out.
I may have tackled him or something because it really did look like something was going on. And for just a second there, this is a good confirmation of what I already believed about myself. When poop hits the fan, I'm kind of Johnny on the spot. I worry a lot about poop hitting the fan outside when it's not hitting the fan. I stress about it. I'm kind of a wuss about those kind of things when it's not happening. but when it's go time, I tend to kick in, lock on target, and go to town. Like, emergencies, I am good in an emergency. I've learned this a few times. Kid has a seizure, I know exactly what to do, and then I freak out later. But I'm in it to win it while it's happening. So that moment where he's reaching in his bag, I felt the adrenaline go, and I was ready to just, I was ready to pounce. Wow. Just lurch on this guy, grab him, wrestle it away, whatever it took. I was totally ready to do it. I was committed. And he pulled out a cup of something and shook it in the air and yelled and sweared and then left. Oh, so it wasn't a gun, but yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, kind of stuff scary. Anyway.
Can I make a confession here, by the way? Confess. I mean, not that I showed up anywhere, but...
Go ahead, my son. That's why you're here. Yeah.
This is I'll step into the confession booth here. Okay right. There
I
we
can
go.
Barely I'm see your face. Booth. It's just slightly obscured by the cross-hatching of the wood in here. I can barely see your face. Okay, my son, go ahead and tell me.
Father, bless me for I've sinned.
That's how you know I'm a fancy priest, is I don't have any echo to my voice.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, you've got the... your side of the booth is actually lined with egg crate foam.
Right, exactly. So what's your confession?
I have never seen a Rambo movie.
You're
not
kidding.
Not First Blood, not Rambo, not Johnny Rambo or whatever the most recent one. None of them.
Johnny Rambo?
Wasn't that what Sylvester Rambo. Stallone, like he came out with Rocky Balboa and then he came out with one called Johnny Rambo?
No,
or something?
It was called Rambo. It was a reboot just with the name Rambo in it.
Okay.
That's fantastic. Johnny Rambo.
How I love it.
That's great. No, you've never seen one.
Never seen one, no.
Film Sack stat. We have to watch First
That's
Blood.
That's the thing. I mean, do I wait for us to see one in Film Sack or...
Yes.
Okay.
Because that's the perfect showcase for it. Because they're not great now. The old ones aren't.
Sure.
And the new ones, whatever. You can say whatever you want about the new one, but I feel like that's totally worth us doing. We should find
that. I would love to. I'd love to make my first viewing of a Rambo virtually with you guys.
Holy crap. I can't believe you haven't seen a Rambo movie.
I know. You know, it just
passed you by.
Just passed me by.
Well,
yeah.
To that end,
I really didn't. I mean, it was alive when they came out. And I remember everybody raving about, oh, you got to go see First Blood, man, because he like totally jabs this guy with a hunting knife and never did it.
Yeah, the exploding arrow in Rambo, or in, what was the second one just called, Rambo?
Rambo, First Blood Part 2.
Was it First Blood Part 2?
Yeah, then Rambo 3, and then just plain Rambo. And none of them are streaming.
Rambo film series. Here we go. Oh, yeah, First Blood... Yeah, you're right. First Blood Part 2. First Blood Part 2 is the one that everyone loves the most.
Yeah, I remember that one coming out. 1985.
Rambo 3 is a burning hot pile of shite.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
People are actually saying that the first one, the first Rambo.
It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Liquorhead. I mean, I've seen UHF. I know the Rambo scene in there. I've seen Hot Shots Part 2 where... Val Kilmer does or Charlie Sheen does the whole Rambo thing. And I get it. I totally know the reference and I can tell you exactly what Rambo's all about, but yeah. Never actually seen the movies.
You could have seen this dude in Florida and known exactly what he was trying to be.
Exactly. I would have said, oh, that guy looks like Rambo. Holy poop.
Yeah. You wouldn't have gone, hey, it looks like, Emilio Estevez in Hot Shots Part 2. You wouldn't have done that.
No, exactly. I don't get the reference.
So.
Anyway.
What was the point? I don't even remember now. Oh, this guy's 37. He dressed up as Rambo and tried to shoot people. Okay, anyway. And he's in trouble now. So goodbye, mister.
Goodbye, Rambo cosplay.
Goodbye. Yeah, goodbye, cosplay. We'll ask Chinbeard about that later. All right. What is it now? It's this. Oh, before that, though, let me do a quick spot here for our friends at squarespace.com. Squarespace.com. So Squarespace is awesome because of various reasons, but my favorite reason to use Squarespace for your next portfolio or blog or website or whatever it is you need, podcast, whatever, man, it's a great place to put all those sorts of things, is their flexibility. And by flexibility, I mean hop in, find the tools, the themes, the stuff you want, activate it, and boom, you're out. You don't have to know a bunch of stuff. You don't have to walk in there like fancy pants Brian Ibbett with all his HTML knowledge. Mm-hmm. You can just have it do it all on its own and poop out a website that you're proud of. They have responsive designs for mobile. They have e-commerce solutions for those who want to sell stuff. It's all right there, and it's all ready for the taking. You can even try it for free. 100% free trial. No credit card required for that trial. I love that. It's a big plus for me with any service. You try it out. If you like it, you stick with it, and you use the code MORNING for 25% off. Let's save you some money. That's better than most codes going on most podcasts for these guys. We got a great deal with them. 25% off with the code MORNING. Do it today.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
FilmSec, the podcast for movie lovers and haters. This week, subscribe at FilmSec.com.
It's like you're in my cab or something.
I know, it's weird. It's a weird one. That's number 13.
Oh, wow. How many are there?
There are 16 choices.
Good Lord. Three more. We've done it.
Hall, room, plate.
I'm going to skip to this second one. Well, I'll just tell you real quick. Kiss and Def Leppard are doing a summer tour together.
Hmm.
Paul Stanley says this is our 40th anniversary tour. We couldn't have a better band with us than Def Leppard. I wonder where they've been. You know they got talent. Let's see.
That would be a great tour to see, honestly.
It'd be all right, wouldn't it? Yeah. I assume it's Kiss and makeup, right? It's got to be.
I would assume. I think they've given up that whole...
lick it up!
Yeah, the natural look.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they're all too ugly now. You got to put makeup on to cover it.
Oh, man. Gene Simmons was on CSI last week.
Yeah.
I don't know how... You know, who's telling him that hairstyle choice is working for him? Because I swear to God, it looks like Lego hair.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It looks like frizzy, you don't want to touch it, Lego hair.
Have you seen... Okay, I got to send you this one.
Okay.
Because you're not wrong, but the worst example of it is this one. And there's no way this is actual hair. Okay, here you go. Is it's going to be in Skype.
Skype.
There you go. Check that one out.
All right.
I mean, that is just redonkulous.
Yeah, I swear to God. It's like a really, really bad wig.
Yeah. Ooh, there's some photos and image search and just it's a scary place. Shannon Tweed's starting to finally look a little weird too.
Yeah.
She used to be total hottie.
Oh, God, yeah.
Anyway. I remember going to movie or like Blockbuster, and just there'd be rows and rows and rows of her
Shannon Tweed
direct to DVD stuff.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
that was the big hot business. Well, anyway, Paul Stanley looks. I actually think Paul Stanley looks a little better than his old buddy.
Anyway. I think so too.
There you go. So that's happening.
So when we decided to bring Kiss back, that's my Paul Stanley.
Paul Stanley. That's exactly what he talked like. Peter Criss so was a super dick. I hated him.
Gene Simmons decided we were going to do a new summer tour.
Yeah. I'm the one with a star in his face. American Horror Story coming back for a fourth season. It will be set in a carnival.
Because, of course.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
It's, you know, it's basically, what's scary? New Orleans, that's scary. All right. How about an insane asylum? Ooh, that's scary. All right, what else? How about a carnival? Perfect.
Yeah, they just keep going through them. House, insane asylum, witches, and right. Now that.
And now circus or carnival.
Circus, either way, is scary.
Yeah.
On the podcast, they mentioned this. It was all sort of the show creator had basically said, yes, I can say nothing. Later, Arrow and Castle right on said you heard a rumor about the season 4, and he then confirmed it. So they basically said, hey, we heard a rumor. And they said, yeah, that's true. So there you
I
go.
Wonder if Jessica Lange is going to be in there.
I don't
or
know.
Lang.
Is it Lang or Lange? It's Lang, Jessica right?
Lang.
It's definitely not Lange.
Jessica Flange.
She's a doge. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to come back with the fitness geek. He'll be on fire and here to talk about fitness and then jury duty, who I confirmed last night via phone that he is coming. So look for that. Before all that, though, some sort of musical interlude. What do you have for us today, Brian Ibbett?
I have something. So this is a cover of Monsters and Men, Little Talks. And this is going out to a guy who tried to get his email sent to us early, right on time. But he screwed up. He actually sent it to the wrong email address. And so I want to remind people that they need, when they send their emails in to get... to get requested or send their requests in via email, they need to send them to tmsrequests@coverville.com. That's tmsrequests@coverville.com.
Nice.
And all this is stalling because I'm trying to pull up
I thought it was TMS request at Gmail. I guess not.
No, no, it's TMS request at coverville.com. Okay,
that's all
I don't think we've got that TMS request, so don't tell people that one.
Yeah,
that,
forget I just said everything.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And why? Shoot. And this person's still not going to get their name read on the show because my email is not pulling up their name.
Wonderful.
All right. You know what? We'll have it at the end. Right. Let's get to it. This is actually submitted to me. This cover was submitted by Chris Cab. Speaking of Cab, Chris Cab. It is a cover of Little Talks, the song that everybody knows by Of Monsters and Men.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this song, actually, and I like this version of it. Here's Chris Cab with his version of Little Talks.
All right. When we come back, we'll have more stuff, so stay tuned. Yeah.
Walking around this cold and empty house, so hold my hand and I'll walk with you from here. The stairs creak as you sleep is keeping me away. The house is telling me to close my eyes. And some days I can't even trust myself. It's killing me to see you this way. Cause though the truth may vary, ship will carry our bodies safe to shore. Don't listen to a word I say. The screams all sound the same. Cause though the truth may vary, this ship will carry our bodies safe to shore. There's an old voice in my head that's holding me. Told them that we miss our little talks. Soon it will be over and buried in our past. We used to play outside when we were young, full of life and full of love. Some days I don't know if wrong or right. My mind is playing tricks on me again. Cause though the truth may vary, this ship will carry on. Don't listen to a word I say. The screams all sound the same. Cause though the truth may vary, this ship will carry our bodies safe to shore. You're gone, gone, gone away. I watch you disappear. All that's left is the ghost of you. Now we're torn, torn, torn apart. There's nothing we can do. Let me go and we'll meet again so soon. Now wait, wait, wait for me. Please hang around. I'll see you when I fall asleep. Listen to a word I say. The screams all sound the same. Cause though the truth may vary, this ship will carry our bodies safe to shore.
Wizardry of Lucas. The mastery of Coppola. The phenomenal music and dance of Michael Jackson. Captain EO. In spectacular 3D. Coming September 19th to Disneyland and Walt Disney World and nowhere else in the universe.
He sleeps in the raw with his ma and his pa.
You can hear the smile in my voice. This is the Morning Stream.
Hello, we're back. Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. That was a good version of that song.
It was, and that's going out to Tim from California. He's been a listener since the Forecast days, and now he loves TMS Film Sec and Current Geek. He wants to thank us for the great podcast. He turned 28 on Valentine's Day, and he accidentally sent it to the wrong email address and thought that we let him down.
Oh.
Love the show, though. No, Tim. Oh, Tim.
Never leave old Tim.
Tim.
Oh, Tim, we never leave you down. Let you know.
Oh, Tim, no, we're here for you,
brother. I've got a very special set of skills.
We'll see you in another life, brother.
You know what you can say about Tim? You can say this.
He's a real professional type.
He's a real professional
type.
He is.
Smooth and convincing.
Yes. All right. So we have now moved on.
Okay.
From the song.
Yes.
To this, which is us trying to track down our good buddy Bill. Can't find him for some reason, though. Here he is. Let's add that boy to the call. No, not Daryl. Don't want Daryl. Let's try to add Daryl to the call again. There we go. Okay, here we go. Get his little theme ready. I'll probably have it here. Do I have it as chin beard? I'll just give you this. Here you go.
Weird Chinese news.
All right. Weird Chinese news with Bill Duran. Hi, Bill.
Why, hello there.
How you doing, man?
I can do this echo thing, too.
You don't even have a mixer. You've just got a big Handsome Jack mask.
That's not
Handsome Jack.
That's not Handsome Jack, but it looks like probably similar process to build said mask.
It's like Clitus. Clitus from Flash Gordon, almost.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Tell us what that's for.
Can you make your eyes and your tongue bulge out of the holes?
I would not want to do that.
Okay.
This is actually covered with rust.
So. Ooh. So what is it? What's that for?
Skyrim, Dragon Priest mask.
Yeah. Man, Skyrim is the gift that just keeps on giving to cosplayers,
really
isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah. Are you at all excited about, I know this is non-fitness related, but are you excited at all about the Elder Scrolls Online game coming?
I am. I think that looks kind of cool, but I'm more excited about Wildstar. Because it just looks fun.
You want to know my opinion about Wildstar?
Lay it on me.
So I played some. Now the NDA's up so people can talk about it. It looks and moves and seems way, way more fun than it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of super disappointing gameplay wise. I mean, it's beautiful. Bummer. Holy crap, the animation's insane, everything about it looks great, but it's just not. It's kind of barren and boring. I wish I didn't feel that way. And you know, that was beta. Who knows? Release. Yeah. My experience with MMOs is usually if it's what you played in beta is typically not going to be all that different than what you play in the final game because so much is done. You can't really retrofit that. There was just kind of a lifelessness to it all, which seemed really weird considering how all the lead up and all these videos they put out and stuff leads you to think that it's full of life and just exciting and funny and nonstop. And it just kind of fell flat for me. So I don't know. We'll see.
Way to crush my dream.
Well, I know. But you had the same impression as me because we both probably approach it from the same point of view, which is, hey, somebody is doing aesthetically and artistically something very different here. And I got real excited because of those things. And sadly,
visually, I'm way more excited about that than other games just because it's such a cool style. It's such a departure from most of the other games that are out right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm really stoked about that. And I want to build everything from it.
Yeah. Ugh. And everything moves in kind of a Pixar way. And it's neat. It's just not very fun to play. I mean, again, let's see what release is like. It's one guy's opinion. I could be dead wrong, but we'll see. Bill is our fitness geek, comes on the show on Tuesday.
Sure,
talks about fitness and how to improve our lives. Bill, what do you got today?
I have been making my own personal progress on my my goal this year is to get down to 160, which is a super ambitious goal. I am down almost 10 pounds now.
That's great.
I'm at, wow. This morning, 175.6 pounds.
Jeez, a little tiny guy.
Leaves me about about 15 pounds from my goal. Mm-hmm. And I've made pretty good progress in the last month or so, but the rate is kind of grinding to not a stall, but it's getting really slow. Mm. Slowing down a whole bunch.
What do you attribute that to?
Well, this happens when you start, especially if you start losing weight, right away, you're going to drop a bunch of weight. Your body's like, oh my God, everything's different. Burn energy. We got plenty to spare. Go for it. Yeah. And you drop weight pretty quickly. You may go a month or two where your routine is really working for you. Whatever routine you start, like even if you're just like, I'm going to go out and walk every day. If you hadn't been doing that before, that little change can make a huge difference.
Sure.
Then out of the blue, that stops working.
Mm.
Your body gets used to it and your body's like, oh, we got this. No problem.
Yeah.
And that can get really frustrating.
But what's the difference between you? What is it possible that this is your body saying to you, hey, this is where you should be. Don't try to go further than this. Like, is that a thing that you think about as part of this?
I'm not really sure about that.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Hmm.
I do know, though, because I have so frequently gone through periods of weight loss,
mm-hmm.
that even so, actually, this is totally not scientific, but when I was topped out at like 230, I dropped from 230 to like 210 in a couple of months pretty quickly. And then it tapered off.
Mm.
And then I changed up my routine and then dropped another 10, 20 pounds. And then that tapered off. And I did to keep switching. So I don't think that my body was saying, here's a good weight for you. I think it was more like, you need to change it up if you want to see any change.
Sure. I could see that. And the reason I ask and the reason I bring this up is I've hit mm-hmm. a bit of a, I don't know if I'd call it a plateau, but I hit around 204, 205 and I've stayed there and I haven't changed anything else. So I think I've hit that same thing you did.
Yeah.
Part of me thinks, and the doctor agreed with me, that this is my optimal area of weight and for my height and age and everything. And maybe that's just my body going, hey, all right, we've arrived. No need to dork around anymore or whatever. I mean, I'm not saying that's the case, or certainly I could go lower. You know, my heady ideas of 195 are still kind of, you know, in the back of my mind thinking, well, I could probably hit that if I wanted to. But my body's like, we're good here. It's weird.
Now the focus is on maintaining, right?
Right.
Yeah, maintenance is hard too.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But also, though, I mean, you may sort of constantly keep that goal of 195 in the back of your head to keep you pushing, because you may try new stuff and bounce down. You may end up bouncing between 200 and 205 and just staying in that range. As mm-hmm. long as you're constantly kind of keeping that goal in mind, that might be a good thing. You could also, again, like you said, and I like that you keep pointing this out, talking to your doctor about what would be a healthy goal for you.
Because
mm-hmm. you may lose a ton of weight and then say, hey, let's keep this crazy train rolling. And your doctor might be like, whoa, 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 you're good here. Here's good. Here's mm-hmm. okay.
Yes.
So long as you are healthy and happy, then stay there.
Do you feel like, was it the dietitian that's bad or the nutrition that's bad?
Oh, well, a dietitian is a person who is actually registered. A nutritionist is anyone who says, hey, I know stuff about food.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, yeah. So I talked to a dietitian, the one that's official and has like a degree or something.
Yeah.
She indicated that if I go much lower than this, that I'm actually doing myself all sorts of unhealthy disservices. And my thing to her was, well, if I'm eating right, exercising a ton, and you know, trying to maintain this thing health in a healthy way and not just starving myself or whatever, isn't that okay? And she seemed to think that, you know, if I go below what my doctor says is my recommended thing, that I'm in trouble, that I'm, you know, I'm pushing McConaughey numbers.
You can be underweight, you know, and it's usually not a problem in America when we think about health issues. Being underweight usually isn't a concern, but you can be underweight.
Mm.
Now, I know for me, for my age, my height, my body makeup, that 160 isn't too ambitious for me. I'm probably still at around 15% body fat right now. Dudes can get down to like two, like swimmers have like 2% body fat, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
If I got down to 10% body fat, that would be amazing and still well within the healthy range.
The Jason Stathams of the world with their 2% freaking body fat.
Start start shaving my head,
yeah.
talking with the British accent, punching people on the street.
Get really low, though, in your gravel voice, for sure.
Oi.
Oi.
Yeah, oi.
So if you have stalled, if you are on the current trend towards a good, healthy weight for yourself and things have sort of stalled a little bit, then you do have to switch things up. And you can switch up your diet or you can switch up what you're doing to exercise. What you're doing with your food, you may be consistently hitting the right number of calories, but you might want to mix up what those calories are made of and when you eat them and in what proportions you eat them. People always say have smaller meals, more smaller meals, you know, less carbs later in the day. Maybe split your big lunch into two meals.
People always say do like five small meals a day instead of three normal ones, and then your metabolism's constantly running, and you know.
Yeah. So maybe just switch that up.
That never works for me though. I feel like I eat too much when I do that. Like I don't know. I don't know what it is. I feel bloaty and gross when I have these, even though they're small. Like here's some carrots and for one, and here's a thing of yogurt for the other or whatever. By the end of those five things, I feel like I ate more than I would have with three regular meals. Maybe I'm supposed to feel that way. I don't know.
You got to track it all so you actually know. So you have the hard numbers on what you're actually getting in you.
Oh, I see. Statistical truthiness is what you're talking about there.
Yeah, yeah. And accountability.
Yeah, those are important bits.
Also, sure. I found that changing up my exercising routine has a huge effect on it. So, for example, most people, I think, when they start losing weight, they add cardio. They're like, I'm going to go walking every single day, or they get a treadmill or whatever. If you've been having a lot of success with that and it's tapering off, try lifting. Try maybe do body weight routines or lifting weights and stuff. Get into that because then you're engaging your muscles in a way like it's that whole muscle confusion thing. Your muscles are like, oh my God, send more energy.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
If you have been lifting, maybe try different types of lifts for the same muscle groups or vary up how many reps and sets you do. Personally, I've been doing about 45 minutes of cardio every single day and about 20 minutes of lifting. So I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to do some cardio still, but I'm going to do the evil Russian push-up routine again. That whole two-week crazy thing where you drop every hour and do a bunch of push-ups.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting thing. You're not talking about I'm on day 30 of that. You're talking about I'm going to shake things up today.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a smart thing to do.
So today I'm doing 27 push-ups every 45 minutes.
Hey, do you have any good creative uses for hand weights outside of just straight up, you know, curls and stuff? Like let me back up. So I have the treadmill so if I can't get to the gym today, I'm going to be on the treadmill at least once or twice, and I'm going to have these 25-pound weights. And you can do the whole left arm, right arm, do however many reps of those and stuff, and those are great and everything, but I always see like people doing crazy creative things with hand weights. Do you have any recommendations for how to use those things outside of just straight up curls?
You can do. I'm sure if you look up just uses for barbells or dumbbells or whatever you got.
Now, where would one look this up? Is this the internet? Would I?
I would. That's Google? The first place I would try. Okay. Yeah. Something else you can do: grab some 5-pound weights and just hold them in your hand when you're on the treadmill. Add some weight to your treadmill routine there.
Mm.
My busted treadmill comes with those.
Oh, yay! Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like it even has a button or like a little LED that'll say, why don't you pick up your hand weights now? Like if you're on one of their built-in things.
You could even lift parts of your broken treadmill if you wanted it to be useful.
That's going to be the most useful thing I can do with it right now, yeah.
Let's grab little 5-pound portions of it.
Yeah,
I haven't
gotten too creative with my lifting. I have two single hand dumbbells and then one barbell, and I haven't gotten too creative with those. So I think I'm going to invest in some more of those and maybe look into what else I can do with the weightlifting.
Nice.
Yeah,
well, I'm gonna keep trying to figure it out. I do that thing where you hold. I said doo-doo.
Yep.
Where you hold the you hold one of them behind your neck like that. I know you guys can't see me, but you hold it behind your neck with both hands, and kind of do these lifts straight up from the rear of your back. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, you're engaging your triceps.
Yeah, that makes me sore, but it feels really good. So I do those.
Oh yeah.
But yeah. More on the horizon, I suppose. Well, Bill, this is all good advice, good ideas. Well, you got anything going on that's cool right now? I know you're making a crown for our king and queen people. That's exciting.
That's getting that worked out, figuring out what that's going to look like.
Sure.
Some designs. That'll be fun.
Yeah, good times. But you got plenty of work going on. Anything people can go check out right now and see you do?
Sure. I just put up this mask here. This
the Dragon Priest mask.
Scary.
The finish on this is actual rust.
Really?
The video, yeah. I've been learning how to. It's finished with an iron powder and then oxidized using science. Yeah. And I put a video, youtube.com/punishedprops. The most recent video up right there is how I did that. So if you're interested in learning that coolness, go check that out.
Nice.
That's cool.
Nice.
That's
really cool. Remind people where your YouTube channel is. I always forget to ask you about that if we don't mention it on the show.
YouTube.com/punishedprops.
Oh, that's the place. Jim Beard on Twitter. It's Bill Duran, everybody. Fair weather, my good friend.
Thank you, Bill.
Bye now. I can't find his hang up. You're going to have to hang up on me again, Bill. I can't find it. There it is. Found it. Okay. Nice.
I like that he even, does a little noise to let you know.
Yep.
Like you're cutting him off.
He's out. All right. Let's add Jerry.
Okay.
Jerry to the call. Hold on. Takes me a second. Wish there was an easier way. Skype just doesn't make this easy. It's just the way
it is. No, they really don't.
Live with the way they give it to you. Okay, here we go. He even has a theme. We're going to play his theme. And as soon as I see his white dots stop appearing, that's when I'll do it. And then we'll go. And
then theme involves something like doo-doo-dee-dee-dee-dee.
Yeah, it might. It might have a little of that in there. All right, still white dotness. They're rolling up his neck. His sweet bearded neck.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Justin Robert Young.
Hi.
Hi, what's going on, man?
Hello, Jerry.
What's going on, everybody?
Well, here we are, just waiting to talk to you because you, sir, come on the show on Tuesdays and hang out with us. And, it's carte blanche for Justin here. He's not trapped by some weird construct like I have to talk about fitness. He can come on here and talk about whatever he wants. We have given him the buffet. So go. What's
I'm
happening?
I'm not relegated to the topic ghetto of tech or fitness or spoilers.
No.
Nay. I tread whatever ground I want. Well, here, I think we can start. There's something that I wanted to touch on that we mentioned last week. That was the Cosmos show.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, by the way, I made my kid not make them. I sat down and had my kids watch the first one, and I rewatched it with them.
Yeah.
If they're succeeding at one thing with this thing, and I think this is important for uppity nerds who didn't like it for some reason. Other than we had some criticisms, but generally everyone liked it and were for this sort of thing. But anything that makes my kids obsess about it this much afterward and talk about it like we did last night is good in my book. Like, they are all in on this whole idea. So it's for as far as I'm concerned, at least from a dad perspective, mission accomplished. Neil deGrasse Tyson and guy who made Family Guy. Way to go.
Well, that's the weirdest part of the whole thing.
It is weird.
Is Seth MacFarlane being involved?
Yeah.
Well, but that's, I guess, it's definitely his passion project. And I was really excited for him to do it because, in my heart of hearts, I kind of want to like Seth MacFarlane, despite the fact that I really am not a gigantic Family Guy fan.
Sure.
Let alone the other 19,000, versions of Family Guy that he just kind of pumps out.
Yeah. Yeah. They hit a note with some people, obviously. I mean, it seems to be doing okay, but
No, he loves it. Yeah, or everybody loves it. By he, I mean the soul of America.
Right.
The soul of America cannot get enough of four characters, nine of which are voiced by Seth MacFarlane.
What's interesting though about Seth MacFarlane is my favorite thing he's done, and I know this is weird from a lot of perspectives, but my favorite thing he's done or ever been involved with is his solo crooner album he made called Music Is Better Than Words, where it is straight up serious, not goofing around, not irony, not, you know, not.
No, he's just like, he's like singing songs straight out of the American Songbook.
It's
right?
great. And they're, most of them are songs. I mean, they're, well, here's like an example here. It's this kind of stuff. But let's get him singing.
You couldn't buy a ticket.
Like it's they're, none of them are like favorites. Like they're not, you wouldn't find these on other albums. In fact, they went out of their way to find ones that got less play in the old days, like in the 40s and 50s. But it's all this kind of croonery stuff. And he does a couple of them with, oh, what's her name? Brian, you'd know this. Oh, shoot. Crap.
Alex Borstein?
No, the girl, she, you'd know her immediately.
Lord.
Like, no, not Lord.
Adele Dazeem?
Not Adele Dazeem. I can't find it. Anyway, she's
Danica
great.
Patrick.
Adele Dazeem.
No, none of these people. And no, Danica Patrick does not sing anything.
Rosemarie.
No, yeah. Not Rosemarie, who is still
Grace
alive.
Grace Kelly.
Not Grace Kelly. I don't know who it is. The point is...
Princess Diana.
No, not her. It's going to bug
the
me.
The Do Dogs Have Brains girl.
She's on a...
I really want to know if I can pick Seth MacFarlane.
What? She's... I just had it and then it left. She does piano stuff a lot. She's...
Tori
Jones.
She's a very... she's African-American, very light-skinned, though. Did you say Nora? Alicia Keys, that's it!
Oh, well done. This was the best game of Taboo ever.
When I had to play, when I had to go and pull out the race comparison, that's when we finally nailed it. That's fantastic. That's what I like.
The password is
so,
Alicia Keys.
So do dogs have brains?
Do dogs have brains? Right, because sorry. I like seriously wanted to know.
By the power of grace.
How come Auto-Tune in the News hasn't touched that one yet, by the way?
That's, maybe you haven't. I haven't heard.
Okay. I would just also like to say, if somebody wanted to do a duet album with that lady, they could call it Duet Dogs Have Brains.
Yes, they could, and probably should. But anyway, my point is, it's really a good album, like straight up non-ironic great. And he's strikes me as a guy who, not unlike a lot of people in the sort of podcasting space that I know and like, he's like that, but in a bigger place. He was a cartoonist. He liked to draw. He liked to animate. He had a lot of fart jokes and whatever. So then that took off and that was good. Now he's got a bunch of money and then he got canceled. Then he came back and thanks to Comedy Central or wherever that was, Cartoon Network, or whoever ran those repeats, it revived it all. And now he's got three series and now he's got so much money he can do stuff he really cares about, like Cosmos, and rumored to be trying to get people to get Star Trek back on TV and, you know, stuff I'm really into. So.
Wow.
I feel like he's just a man with a lot of talent in a lot of ways.
Well, and I think he also realizes that this is a time in which he has infinite leverage.
Yeah.
So, like, he can go to Fox and be like, Cosmos, I want to put it on. And they'll be like, sure, let's take a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, no, but seriously, we're doing Cosmos. And also, like, the way that you hold over the entire, like, is... When networks have football, it's effectively a loss leader for them because they have to pay so much for football that it doesn't, even like with the massive amount of money they bring in with ad dollars, it very rarely kind of makes money.
Mm-hmm.
What they do is have this massive audience that they could then transfer over to other shows.
Sure.
And
the name carries some weight. I mean, he is, according to Wikipedia and a bunch of news articles, he is now currently the highest paid writer/producer in all of television.
Worldwide. And the reason why is because his shows, the reason why they're all on Sunday is because between that and The Simpsons, that carries over a large amount of football audience that they can actually make money on.
Right. Right.
So like they are they're invaluable to Fox. And so they can say, yeah, no, I'm going to do Cosmos now. And Fox has to say, yeah. And he can say, I want to bring back Star Trek. And somebody will listen to him because they want to be in business with Seth MacFarlane.
Sure. Sure. And it's interesting on the Fox front. We were talking about this last night, Kim and I. So the kids are watching it and they're really into it. And they're getting to the whole, like, let's condense the history of the universe down into understandable calendar terms. And they're doing that whole bit, which is really great. I love that part. I love that part where just they take something you're familiar with and then give you something that's almost incomprehensible and then somehow make it understandable, which is fantastic. Anyway, all that stuff's great. And we're watching it, and we had just gotten done with the kind of evil Pope scene with the animated devil Pope thing. And I leaned over and I said, that's interesting, right? And she goes, because she hadn't seen it yet. And she goes, yeah. And she goes, how is it that Fox is running the show, but also Fox owns Fox News, and Fox News would never run that? And she made a really good point. Yeah, they'd never do Devil Pope, would they? I mean, I know they're a little bit more Protestant over there.
I don't know why they would have the reason to do Devil Pope.
All right, but I guess what I'm saying is, you know, love them or hate them, they're pretty conservative, you know, Jesus-focused network, typically.
I mean, the
morning show, primarily. It's a whole lot of, you know, I don't know.
No. Fox News in general, like, Fox News kind of prides itself on having an editorial voice,
sure,
you know?
Sure.
And that they have other people that are there that kind of follow the editorial voice of Fox, or of Fox News, rather. I mean, really, the brilliance of that is Rupert Murdoch. Rupert Murdoch says, hey, you go do a thing and have it make money.
Yeah.
And go. Like, and that's like kind of what happened with the Fox Network. That's what happened with Fox News. He found people that would make money for him in media and said, the smartest thing I could do is not tell them one way or another, which is always funny because I think Rupert Murdoch is a guy with a lot of opinions and values, obviously, but he certainly knows enough to keep his hands off certain things that he would otherwise necessarily disagree with.
Sure.
I mean, if you look at like so much of what we have on television now, you know, I've been watching Archer. I've been catching up on Archer on Netflix. And not only is that explicitly an FX show, but it's like the coarse American comedy owes so much to Fox.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And specifically kind of Married with Children. You know, it's not to say that there weren't ribald body jokes before, but if you look at even All in the Family versus Married with Children, it's a different world. It kind of blows my mind to realize how much, you know, like was kind of frankly discussed on Married with Children.
Oh, well,
like,
not only that, but look at The Simpsons for what it was when it happened. It wasn't this, it wasn't, we don't think of it now because it's kind of innocuous and who cares. But back in the day, the idea that animation could deal with some themes that The Simpsons dealt with to a mainstream audience and on primetime, unfreaking heard of. That was seismic back then.
And look at Tracy Ullman giving British people a shot.
Yeah,
that's
right?
A huge thing.
Now they're everywhere. Ugh.
Exactly. Yeah, now they're everywhere, but they're doing American accents.
You want to know what? So I'm watching, have either of you guys seen the Grand Budapest Hotel?
No, I can't wait, though. I'm a big Wes Anderson fan, so.
So I think it goes into wide distribution next week, or this Friday. So I highly recommend everybody go see it. Yeah. But it's really good. And before the movie, there was I can't remember what the name of the movie is, but it's a movie basically about British people being racist against black people in the Victorian era. Mm. And I just like, I almost wanted to stand up and fist pump in the theater. Like, finally, these suckers get it. Because you know that they're not cool with black people.
Yeah.
Like, there's none of them there. There's like five black people in the UK.
Yeah.
But like, British people, like, say, like, all you ever do is see, like, Downton Abbey and all these other things where, like, they are critical of white people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know they're critical of black people.
Sure. No, it's nice to see. Was it called 12 Kilometers a Slave, or what's the name?
No. Although, that speaking of a British guy doing an American accent, the guy in 12 Years a Slave was a British guy doing an American accent.
That's right.
Taking all of our American roles.
Magneto and his racist moments. That's true.
That's right.
I still didn't see that movie.
I still haven't either. Yeah, Brian, you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what'd you think? Hard hitting.
It's a laugh a minute.
No, Jesus.
I think as Amy Poehler said, you know, it really turned me around on the whole slavery thing.
Yeah, yeah. I have not seen it yet, but I want to.
It's a powerful film, but tuck in and you know,
you look the on. Fact that you've seen it. And that I and Justin will see it makes up for the three people on the Academy who voted for it and didn't see it.
And didn't see it. Yeah.
So good luck to that.
Here's how I know that major stars did really screwed up things in the movie.
All
because
right.
Nobody really, everybody talked about the fact that all these famous people were in it. But nobody was like, oh my God, that scene with Brad Pitt, or that scene with Benedict Cumberbatch, or that scene with Michael Fassbender. There was never, like, there was nary an Oscar sizzle reel moment featuring any of those people.
Right. No.
So that means that everybody in that movie was happy to be in the movie, happy to be on stage when they accepted the awards, not happy for people to necessarily be like, oh my God, that scene in that movie. Like, we love, nobody of the actors I just mentioned wants to get stopped at the airport and reminded of the scene that they had in 12 Years a Slave. And I haven't even seen it.
So wait, Benedict Cumberbatch is in that movie? Mm-hmm. I didn't know this. How did I not know that?
He's at the Oscars.
Oh, okay.
That's why he was there doing his photobombs on the red carpet.
I thought he was doing that because he's just Benedict Cumberbatch and he was the dragon in the Desolation of Smaug. I figured that was that. Whatever. They have people on all the time that shouldn't be there. I mean, not that they shouldn't be there, but he was in The Hobbit. He was in that other thing, the Star Trek this year. So, you know, I figured that was it. But I had no idea 12 Years a Slave. Brad Pitt is in 12 Years a Slave?
Yeah, dude. What? He's the one who accepted the Best Picture Oscar.
6 minutes.
he did? I don't remember that.
He walked up first, which was funny because especially considering so much, this was a important Oscar with the capital I.
Yeah.
For black reasons. And it was really like, it was like a moment where I'm like, man, how embarrassing is this going to be if the only person who talks during the Best Picture accepted speech was Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
It's like everybody's really excited. And then we have the paragon of white hunkiness just kind of explaining why it's really, really great that this movie that tells a tremendously important black story is recognized by you, the largely white audience.
Yeah. I see. I didn't know Paul Giamatti's in it. I didn't know any of these people were in it. This is interesting. Okay, fine. I'm in. I'll watch it. But they all do terrible things, you're telling me? Brad Pitt does terrible things? Is this true, Brian?
Well, they're all slave owners, right, Brian?
Yeah. Basically,
if you're a white dude in this movie, you suck. Yeah.
Slave owners, there's good slave owners, and there's not really good slave owners. I mean, there's the slave owners that you kind of feel bad for because they treat their slaves better, but they're still slave owners.
Right, right. Slave owner's a slave owner.
It goes on the scale
at the end of the day,
from,
it's really only so far you can go up the dial.
That's right. It goes on the scale from Cumberbatch all the way down to Giamatti and Fassbender.
All right. So Giamatti being a rotten one, a terrible one?
Being a bad one, yeah.
What was Brad Pitt's role? What did he do?
He's a visitor from somewhere else where they don't have slaves, and he thinks the whole thing is kind of silly.
When they turn their backs and walk away from them, does he flip them off repeatedly and yell things about the doses?
Yeah.
I freaking love that movie. Let's all go watch 12 Monkeys. 12 Years a Slave to 12 Monkeys. Look at that transition. 12. All right, brilliant. Anyway, sorry, I took you off course there, Justin. You were heading somewhere, and then
here's all I was saying about Cosmos to go back 15 minutes.
All right, got it.
There was a moment that was on the internet. Y'all heard about this? The smoking gun to the Big Bang Theory?
No. Although I heard, well, no. Last night I saw something come over a Twitter feed about some proof about Big Bang origin something. Was that you're talking about? Okay.
So let me preface this by saying I'm functionally retarded and I don't know what any of this means, but I know enough that smart people seem very excited about it. And I'm therefore willing to hang my excitement on their thrills.
Right.
So it appears and has been reported that the quote unquote smoking gun, like physical proof of our theory of the Big Bang Theory, was found or at least announced yesterday.
Yeah, this is they're referring to it as gravitational waves, right?
Yes.
And that's all they'll tell us. Actually, somebody, Sean Carroll, physicist at California Institute of Technology, says it teaches us something crucial about how it all began. It says it's an amazing achievement that we humans doing science systematically for just a few hundred years can extend our understanding this far. Blah, blah, blah. It's basically these big, giant waves, and because they can sense these waves, scientists believe that's proof of the Big Bang.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the short of it. There's a lot more to it, but yeah.
There's a video out there where the guy who led the research, and I think they're both, on some level employed by Stanford, goes to the guy who first theorized the Big Bang and wrote all the theories about it, goes to his house and like they videotape him telling him that they have found proof of his theory.
And what did he do?
Like broke down with happiness.
Oh.
And it was like the most, like it was the feeling that like, and I'm glad that, that your kids had the experience that they did with Cosmos.
Yeah.
Because that was like the one, like, the one thing that just makes me feel so weird is like, I haven't seen the second episode, but I saw people on Twitter that were like, oh, look at like Neil deGrasse Tyson drops the mic on Cosmos. And it's like, all right, like
what? Fine. He dropped the mic.
What well, it's just like about like evolution or something like that. Oh. And it's like, yeah, evolution's real. And like, I guess he had some line. It's like evolution is no less real than gravity or something like that.
Sure. Yeah, Twitter loves doing that, though.
Mm-hmm. I know. And it just annoyed me. And it's like, I just love that moment. I love the moment where the guy who has spent his life trying to chart our why we're here and why everything is what it is, because his curiosity knows no bounds and just expands like the universe that he has theorized over and over and over again. And finally, he sees proof beyond all of his best laid, you know, best intentioned guesses.
Mm-hmm.
And he like breaks down with happiness. And like, that's that story.
That's the real deal.
Yeah. That's 2 minutes of like scientific joy of understanding like what this guy's journey was. And here is not an ending, but just an element that we can latch on to.
I'm going to say a controversial thing here. I'm going to get heat for this, but I don't care. There's a reason that we all like Neil deGrasse Tyson, and there's a reason I like him. And the reason is, if we're being honest, is because he's on TV all the time. Now, he's a brilliant scientist. He's a smart dude, deserves the accolades he gets from that community. He knows stuff. He's great, and he presents well, and that's why he's on TV. There's a reason why he's on TV also. But yeah, most of the reason that 90% of my uppity Twitter people that I follow like Neil deGrasse Tyson is because he shows up occasionally on The Daily Show or on the freaking Colbert Report or somewhere else and is a public thing that is in your face and on television. That's 99% of the reason you like Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying we got people get this messiah complex going sometimes for certain people, and it's almost always because they're on TV. Almost always.
So yeah, there,
take that, folks. Roll that around in your mouth, and then let me know what you think later via email. TheMorningStream@gmail.com. All right, yes. What?
Wow, it's rare that you actually invite these emails. Normally, if you
can't beat them, join them.
Basically, I'm feeling scrappy today.
Big shots. You take big shots at people that say, "Don't send me emails." I know.
Yeah. But I know. But even I'm admitting this. That's why I like him, because I wouldn't know him any other way. Otherwise. So it isn't like there's some kind of he didn't hang out with me in high school, and I'm just glad to see my boy do good. It's I don't know him. He's on TV.
Did he write a book?
Yeah, he probably did.
Famous for a book or
something. Probably
like that.
Did. Probably wrote a great book. He, according to the first episode of the Cosmos, I assume it's all true. He hung out with Carl Sagan himself and got to tour his Cornell.
I mean, but like even that part, he's like he only hung out with Carl Sagan once. Like it sounds like me and you have spent more quality time together, both Scott and Brian. I've spent like one night with a nice dinner where we had a good conversation, and according to that part of Cosmos, we have spent more quality time together than Neil deGrasse Tyson and Carl Sagan did.
Right. It's just that we do this thing as humans where we talk about we'll pick a side. Let's say it's the religious science argument or something. They pick a side on science and they say, yeah, you guys and your weird religion where you worship that dude. Well, he was just a dude. He ate a cheeseburger just like the rest of us. Well, so does Neil deGrasse Tyson. You know what
he
I mean?
He does eat cheeseburgers. There,
he loves a good cheeseburger. Sure he does. And that's great. We all should. We all like a good cheeseburger. But in the end, it's just I get there's people tend to people worship. And I like him because I've seen him on TV. And there are some people who probably only ever read a book from him or saw him do a lecture at some school and change their life. And you know what? They're the ones with the genuine experience. But the rest of us, We just saw him on
I'll
TV.
I'll tell you what. I totally agree with you, Scott. And everybody out there who just gets really obsessive and like sycophantic about stuff, and they just really want to spend their energy and effort and money and time and coming to see and paying homage to these people really grosses me out, which is why I want to remind everybody that Nerdtacular tickets are on sale right now at Nerdtacular.com.
Nicely done. I kind of had a feeling you were heading that direction, but you know, it's I think even that event is almost like about it's almost about diffusing that a little bit. Like I realize there's some of that. I'm not naive, but a lot of it also is like somebody to go, "Ooh, Scott Johnson," and then give me a chance to actually shake your hand, talk to you, and have them realize, "Oh, he's just a guy like me. We can hang out, and it's good, and we're just friends." That's all I really want out of that deal. And I'm not saying, look, this sounds like an indictment of Neil deGrasse Tyson. It is not. I think he's awesome. I really like him, like a whole lot. I just wanted to make that one little
like an
point.
In a unhealthy way.
Yeah, in a very unhealthy sort
it
of
gets
obsessive.
Growth at times when he talks about Neil deGrasse Tyson. We all shift uncomfortably in our seats. Left to right. Well, anyway. I would say in part, I mean, like, listen, there's a lesson to be learned about mass media, right? Like the reason why I think we are better connected and better as a society is because we know of more people that we might connect with, and therefore we are more likely to make connections.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
In a world before we were able to connect in the way that we are. And I would say, you know, from every step of mass media, from telegraph to radio to television to internet, you know, we have always been able to see other people that we can see part of ourselves in and be that what we are now or what we hope to be. And that is an awesome part of it. However, I do agree with you that like there is a benefit to understanding why we do, you know, there's a benefit to understanding why we connect with the people we do and having it not just be something else that we, you know, put on our t-shirts that say, "I love this person," and blindly yell and scream with other people who we think might disagree with our points of view.
Right.
Like, and that's where it's troubling. And that's where, you know, things like Nerdtacular are great, because not only is it about, you know, the shows that you like, but also it's like, it's about the community. I mean, like we did last year, we did the cigar thing, right?
The little cigar den chat meetup thing. Yeah.
And that is something for which, like, you don't like cigars. Yeah, like, no. You don't like smoke at all.
Yeah.
Like, and you, the person who has formed this conference, like, took yourself out of your comfort zone to come be with us. Like, it was like almost like against what you would ever do.
It was like strapping a skunk's anus to my face. Yeah,
exactly. You hated being there, but you wanted to be there because it was an element of the community that was fun to be around. And therefore, that was like the tail wagging the dog.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Plus, it was outside. Outside was better because that disseminated. But I wasn't going to miss that for the world. Like, that was a neat opportunity to have this kind of close-knit, intimate discussion about things that weren't even going to be said on stage or anywhere else. Like, that was a really cool little offshoot. And that's the kind of stuff I like, because then you're getting down on people's level. Everybody's kind of having a conversation rather than me broadcasting it out to people who are just forced to listen to it. Like, that's always interesting to me. That's what the show is, really. I mean, that's what TMS is at its core. So, I'm all for that. And, you know, I don't want to get to that point. I mean, everyone always says, let me put it this way. I'll just start three sentences and then finally say this one. Because I won't finish those other sentences. Here's what I'm going to say. I really genuinely believe that I would not be good with much more exposure than I have now. And I really like the place we're at, because this place we're at means I can go to the mall and nobody gives two craps who I am. But I can get on Twitter and I can have a real conversation with a whole bunch of people who have common interests and ideas and thoughts and whatever. That, to me, is the perfect mix of public and private life. And I don't think I want bigger than that. Like, somebody could come tomorrow and say, "Hey, we're going to put you on Discovery Channel. We're going to have a new show called Let's Pull the Remaining Hairs Out of Brian Ibbett's Head, and you're going to be the host." Then I would say, okay, probably would do that. But that I know that what that would mean. It would mean
only if I can include the evil Pope.
Yeah. Evil animated Pope, mind you. Which, by the way, my kids really liked that part, but their animation heads.
That. Yeah, that's really cool
animation. They're animation nerds and they love that stuff. So that was a no. That was just a gimme that they were going to like that.
I did dig the animation. I mean, it's like cool. I don't know how much I was in love with animation being included in Cosmos, but sure. I did love the way that animation.
Well, look at the alternative. The alternative was live action, unsolved mystery style, and that would have sucked. That would have been terrible. I hate that above all.
I mean, like, it's not binary, though. Right. Like, you know, like, you could do, like, Ken Burns does a pretty good job of not doing either of those things.
That's true. Know? Yeah,
telling,
he doesn't.
Really compelling story.
That's a good point. He did in, like, okay, so if you look at his one with, who are the two guys that went west and discovered everything? My brain just went.
Lewis and Clark.
His Lewis and Clark documentary, which is really good, is a real departure for him, and it does have reenacted scenes, and they are really out of place for a Ken Burns documentary, which typically does it through letters, photos, interviews, emotives.
Or you can look at, like, have you ever seen the documentary The Kid Stays in the Picture or Cocaine Cowboys?
I have not. I did see that one, yeah.
By two different directors, but, like, do a really, really good job of bringing kind of still images to life and making them more dynamic. All right. One last thing before I get out of here.
All right.
I mentioned you in this perfect element of private and public life.
Yeah.
And you can turn on your celebrity persona either at Nerdtacular or when you're on the live streams in comfortable situations, or at least more comfortable for you, and turn it off when you are going out into the world. Has anybody mentioned the fact yet that all these stories that you tell of people yelling things at you that are just incoherent gibberish are most definitely people recognizing you?
I'm not sure it is yet. Like,
I'm positive it is.
Fart gas.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
I'm not sure either. Like, fart gas. What does that even mean?
Fart gas is frog pants. Listen, you are living in a Truman Show world that you refuse to acknowledge.
So Laura Linney, my wife, Kim, is the Laura Linney of this story, but not cross-eyed. That's the difference? Is that what you're telling me?
Right. Okay. All I'm saying is that, like, it gets to a point where people aren't just stopping to yell at you nonsense. There's, like, the Occam's razor element is people are recognizing your public persona. You are visible throughout a certain area of Salt Lake City. You are very identified as somebody who is a Salt Lake City resident. And people say, oh, look, there's that guy I know from that thing. Let me try and make contact with him. And you, for whatever reason, and I think this is a cognitive thing in your brain. It's not that your hearing's going. I think your brain just doesn't want to recognize that you're a celebrity that can be recognized on the street. And you just hear, what?
Fart gas? What is this? All right. You might be right.
I think you're onto something.
You might be right on that one. But what was the other one in the Walmart parking lot? No one's been able to explain that to me.
I can't remember. Ammunition or something. What was it? Was like
something about
explosive tip.
Oh yeah, explosive tip. Explain that one. Explosive tip.
I don't know. I'm not going to make sense of what comes out of the other end of your crazy filter. Okay. All I know is what goes in and what comes out is up to your insane Jenga brain.
You make a point.
To decide.
Yeah. It's like a pizza and freaking goat milk. I grind that. You see them separately. You know what those are. But when you grind them up and poop them out the other end of a Cuisinart, you have no idea what the hell that is. And it's up to you, dear Justin Robert Young, to determine what those ingredients were before they got ground up. I understand your point. I get it. I understand. And you're probably right. But I still baffles me that they didn't just say frog pants. I'm pretty sure they said what I heard. It isn't my
fart
hearing.
Fart gas. You're fart pretty gas. Sure they said fart gas. Somebody stopped you on the street to scream fart gas at
Well,
you.
They were in another
and
car.
That's more likely than frog pants.
They were in another car at a stoplight. But yes, they yelled fart. I'm sure it was fart gas. But now, now you've. Maybe you're
but
right.
Just draw what are the scenarios in which fart gas is what they yell at you. Did they fart so much in their car they felt the need to share it with a random stranger?
Good point. That's a good point. I will remember
was it
that.
Maybe a health hazard that so many farts had accumulated that they needed to air it out and they wanted to warn the person next to them that it might combust at any time, leaving a Michael Bay-style fireball on the streets of Salt Lake City. Or maybe you have a very successful new media company that is well identified with the region. They recognize you and said, hey, frog pants.
Yeah, that's a very good point. All right, that guy probably. Explosive tip has yet to be seen. I still don't know what that would have been.
There's no... I'm sure it's like the instance or something that is like... Because there's like, if you're going to do... Well, here, you can do it right now.
And wow, there is an explosive shot my hunter can fire. So I thought,
no, but it's going to be like the four names that people would know of you. So let's go to Google and just type Scott.
Scott Johnson.
Johnson.
Explosive tip.
Explosive.
Oh, wait, no, this is all.
Oh, wow. If you start typing EX, it says Scott Johnson exposed.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Good God.
Oh, no, doctor. I'm not a doctor, so I'm okay. I'm all right.
No, I'm going to do an incognito window. Scott Johnson, because all mine showed up as like Oakland.
Related to you,
PA.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Doctor. I mean, what? Google, stop being a butt on this. And
oh,
show
wow.
Me
the what? Third one is Scott Johnson exposing the strong delusion.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Because clearly Scott Johnson is the leopard.
The leopard. And we know...
So here, I would say people would be yelling at you if you type Scott Johnson Extra Life. People would be screaming the following three words: Facebook, Mormon, or radio.
Really? Those are the ones? Oh, wow.
This is what pops up when I type in Scott Johnson Extra Life. Is Facebook Scott Johnson Extra Life Facebook?
Yeah.
Scott Johnson Extra Life Mormon?
Yeah.
Scott Johnson Extra Life Radio.
Wow. What are people doing here? Oh, look at, yeah, see, and if you go, oh, geez, this kind of stuff freaks me out. I don't like all these
well,
references.
What people are searching for you?
Well, there's just so many results, and they're all like things I don't know people have said, or they're like blog posts or tweets, or it kind of freaks me out.
A lot of times you'll get like net worth. Mm-hmm. You'll get like who the significant other of the person is. Like those are like on the celebrities. That's a lot of what you see is like, you know, Justin Timberlake, net worth, girlfriend, that kind of thing.
It's weird to me. I find it freaky. So I usually don't look like people that do vanity searches. I don't do that. It freaks me out. I don't like
it. Oh, you don't have the Google alert?
No, I don't do any of that stuff because it freaks me out. It's like, no, what are you guys talking about me for? Don't do that.
Shut Brian, up. Do you have a Google alert on your name?
I do, yes. I have one on Ibit, I have one on Coverville, and I have one for cover song and cover version to find new material.
Put one in for Ibbotson.
No, because I'm going to get pictures of that weird tenor sax dude, and I don't want more pictures of that weird tenor sax dude. By the way, Wannabas says that from those from the Google search results that Jury came up with, you should create a new show called Mormon Facebook Radio.
Dude, the SEO would be out of control.
It would be. You'd have 100% rating on Alexa.
Wow.
Brian Ibbotson.
All right, Brian Ibbotson. Thanks, Leo.
Thanks, Leo.
Good stuff. Well, we've learned a lot today. I feel like we've gone around the world twice, and we're still in the, what's it called, the Valayan cluster? Or what was it? The Valor cluster. The Valor cluster. That's it. Something I learned.
We all are now sheathed with Valerian.
Is it a Star Trek place or a...
or a thing I made up about Cosmos. You decide. Justin, where are you these days that people can find you and things going on? I'm sure there's a new show tonight, Night Attack, yeah?
Yeah, well, you can find me. I'm in Oakland, California. Mm-hmm. You just go ahead and take the 5 all the way up. And,
stop at a light.
And as you drive by him, shout,
Fart gas!
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. Please, if you see me on the streets, shout fart gas. Okay. That's going to be my new rap song. If you see me in the streets, shout fart gas!
I just made that was a little, you hear my beatboxing? That was the worst thing I've ever done on the air.
That was, I'll tell you what, that's going to be the theme song for Facebook Mormon Radio.
Yeah. There you go. That's
Jury's going to let us know that next week he was driving down the street and somebody rolled down their window and said, Anus of W.
Yep.
Anus of W. Perfect.
And then I'm going to be really perplexed by it. Yeah. But Brian, somebody kept by and they kept screaming, Anus FW. Anus FW. What?
Whose initials are FW?
What That's does it crazy. Mean? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. All right. So new episode tonight. We've been canceled on for the second week in a row by Veronica Belmont because now her entire arm has fallen off.
I heard did she ever get, there was talk of surgery. Do we know?
Yeah, no, that's why she's delaying tonight because of surgery. And it's been the most delightful cancellation ever because she's high on painkillers and just sends offensive emojis.
She's completely stoned. Yeah, you can hear it in her Twitter posts.
I hope she's going to be able to push the button in Frog Pants All-Stars in July.
By July, yeah, you'd hope.
Her rehab, she's going to have to rehab it. But
what kind of surgery do you know? I'm just curious. Did it end up being like nerve stuff? Or perhaps this is her medical history and we don't want to talk about it.
I can't ruminate on the medical diagnosis of one Veronica Belmont, but
I hope they gave her fart gas.
I do know it was something wrist related that was initially. I think she broke her wrist and now it might just be one of those like re-break it to set it correctly kind of thing. I'm speculating. I have no idea. I'm just trying to think of other surgeries that friends who have broken things on their arm have had to go through.
Well, you are a licensed internist, so it's fine.
I am.
Sorry, you were saying about tonight.
Anus FW. So new show tonight. We will have Get Set Go, the band that does our lullaby. We will have them in studio. They will perform. They got a new documentary coming out that everybody should go check out. And I can't remember the name for right now. So you have to listen to Night Attack tonight at 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time on diamondclub.tv. New weird things out. You want to know? I think that probably the most compatible show is not Night Attack with the morning stream, but rather Weird Things.
I agree. I agree with that. It's a heady. It's a nice cross of heady and you three goofballs.
Yes, it's really me. It's Brian and Andrew are actually smart people that would probably know what that Big Bang Evidence meant. And I just like to scream like, but what if they had butts for faces?
No, I've always been a fan. And it's funny because when your segment started on the show, it was all a Weird Things offshoot even then. So, yeah, the connection is hot for sure. People should watch that and listen to it.
So go
good.
Check that out. This week we talked about there's a secret boat. It's not really secret because you can search about it on the internet. But there is a boat that is frequented by the rich and famous that you basically just own your own. You own your cabin on it and it consistently circles the world doing awesome rich people things. And people can like live on it. And so we got into a big discussion on whether or not you would look to renounce your American citizenship and live upon this boat full time.
Is this the thing that people refer to as the super yacht? Is that the one? Maybe.
I think so. It's called the world boat or something like that.
People shell out as much as 500 pounds European or euros to be on this thing if they're from there. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's something really ridiculous. And as it turned out, we had somebody that was in the chat room that had done custom work on it and gave us some insight into it.
Oh, no
but
way.
That and all the Malaysian plane stuff and then a shocking discovery about how we as humans bleed creatures dry of their blood so we might survive.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You can find it all out at weirdthings.com.
Let's leave him hanging with that one. It's a good one. Justin R. Young on Twitter, and you're all over the place. People will find you. It's no problem. Justin, have a great week, man.
Bye, guys.
Bye now.
See ya.
Did he just call us bisexual?
He did, yeah. Bye, guys. Oh. What?
Bye, five guys. What?
Ooh.
This just in.
Beep, 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 beep.
An artist has created a bunch of faces from DNA. I just want to throw that out there. You think we're hurtling ever closer to replicating human beings. Took a DNA from a hair and then built 3D flesh faces.
Really?
Out of that hair.
Grow them on the back of a mouse or something?
Yeah, and what they would have looked like. No, it's not like real flesh. Let's see. Is it 3D model of a face? And then you know what? It's just straight up regular old 3D printing, but they made models and then 3D printed them and then painted them. So... weird,
one
right?
More reason for me to get a 3D printer, and the reasons just keep coming.
Yep. You find an old weird hair on a toilet in a public bathroom. You want to make the guy
take it
who
home.
Left it.
I want to see who left that fish in the toilet.
And then you have a big, sweaty truck driving friend from Mexico all of a sudden sitting next to you. There you go, folks. That's our show. No emails today because we knew we'd be packed with other stuff. I knew that going into it. That's how it goes on Tuesdays.
I suspected. Yeah, I thought.
Tomorrow's Recommendals awesome. Day. It's also Tom Merritt Day, and we'll be here to celebrate both those days right here with you. Dear listener, if you'd like to be part of the program, frogpants.com/TMS has links to everything and all things. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. On Twitter, you can find Brian at Coverville, me at Scott Johnson, and the show at Morning Stream. That will do it for us, Brian.
Yes.
Why don't we do one more song to go home on?
Just one more song. Mm. One more song. All right. This one is going out to Wispy in New York. And she said that her email probably wouldn't be a good thing to read on the air. I mean, it's a very shocking story. I might share it with you and Wendy just to see if we want to do a Therapy Thursday about it.
Okay.
But we
need one this week. So,
but basically, you know, to sum it up, Wispy was caught in a situation where something was happening. She wasn't aware of it. Had she been aware of it, who knows? Maybe she could have done something, but most likely she wouldn't have been able to. But there's some guilt involved with not being aware of the situation and not being able to help with it. Mm. And to that, she wanted to request a cover of Don Henley's New York Minute. And it's, you know, it's a really, really good song. I don't have the Eagles version of it. Mm. Apparently there is an Eagles cover of it, but I do have a cover by a female blues singer named San Solomonson. And I love this version. It's from a 1998 album titled In a New York Minute, and it's just a beautiful version of the song. Let's go ahead and play this, and it's going out to Wispy in New York, and best wishes.
Yes, indeed. Everyone have a fantastic day. We'll see you tomorrow. And Veronica, don't forget.
Robot arms.
That's having that surgery. Good luck with that. We hope you're doing fine. That's a stinker, man. Whew. Especially a technology person who needs a mouse and a keyboard a lot, you know?
Yeah, right.
Freaking surgery. Jeez. Sucks. All right. That's it, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye. 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 Oh, there it is.
Stay.
shadows fall surly and people rush home to the ones they love. You better take a fool's advice and take care of your own, 'cause one day they're here, the next day they're gone. Shoulders, took a walk down through the park. Leaves were falling around me, groaning city in the gathering dark. On some solitary rock, a desperate lover left his mark. Baby, I've changed, please come back. But the head makes cloudy, the heart makes very clear. You know the days were so much brighter in the time when she was here. I know there's somebody somewhere, make these dark clouds disappear. Until that day I have to believe, I believe that in a New York minute, ooh, oh, everything can change. In a New York minute, ooh, you can get out of the rain. In a New York minute, ooh, oh, everything can change.
Visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Woo-hoo!